S-R-N.
I dig your work. Playing one side against the other in bed with everybody is fabulous stuff, man.
I'm not... Fuck it, man. Just stay away from my fucking lady friend.
Hey, I'm not messing with your special lady.
She's not my special lady. She's my fucking lady friend. I'm just helping her conceive, man.
Cinderella story, out of nowhere, a former greenskeeper now about to become the Masters champion.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole!
Well, a boy's best friend is his mother.
One morning, I shot an elephant in my pajamas. How he got in my pajamas, I don't know.
Listen to me, Hatcher. You gotta tell him Silent Green is people!
Come along, Mr. Miyagi.
21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts!
Take your sticky paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You are now listening to Cinema Crespo Diesel.
Welcome to episode 53 of Cinema Crespo Diso. I am your host, Christopher Crespo. Just hanging out, starting a whole new year of Cinema Crespo Disos. So exciting. With me, as always, is my co-host, Drewster Cogburn. Drew, how's it going?
How's it going, Chris?
Hanging out, man. Episode 53.
It's a whole new year.
A whole new year.
A whole new season of Cinema Crespo Diso.
A whole new season.
Anything going to be changing up around here?
There might be a thing or two changing up. We have to make a decision about Drewster Cogburn versus the world later on.
Yeah.
And, of course, it wouldn't be Drewster Cogburn versus the world without an opponent.
Yeah, correct.
And we got you one right here. Returning guest, the one and only Pedro Lima.
Thank you.
How's it going, buddy?
Oh, man, it's been a while.
It has been a while.
I like the music. I like the soothing music. It feels like a lounge.
Yeah, it is. It might actually be, the title of the song might be Lounge Time, something. It might even be that. It's from the Black Dynamite soundtrack.
I haven't seen that.
Oh,
one.
It's
so
Pedro.
Great.
Black Dynamite is the movie, man.
Black Dynamite.
So good. And the soundtrack is fantastic. So I've been... stealing from them ever since I've started the show.
That's what white people have been doing for a while. So.
Steal from the best.
Oh, yeah.
Steal from the blacks.
Steal from the best. So welcome to episode 53. Pedro, thank you for joining us, man.
Thank you for having me, man.
This is our first episode of the second year of the show. And
season two.
It is season two. If this was a TV show, it would be season two. Pretty crazy shit. Pretty excited. We got a lot to talk about. In the second half, we're going to be doing the best of 2013 and a little bit of the worst of as well. We'll talk about some of the things that are real shitty. Also got a couple of stories, a couple of interesting movie news things that we can get into. But, you know, before we start the show, why don't you tell the people where you've been, man?
I've been performing.
Yes.
I've been on the road. Finally got to perform this past, like, the first week, second week of January?
Yeah, second week.
Second week of January, I got to perform Hometown. I was just at Boardwalk Bowl, two sold-out shows.
Nice.
That was awesome.
Where did they do it exactly at Boardwalk Bowl? Like in that front bar area when you first walked in?
Yeah, in that bar.
Okay.
In that big bar. They set it up. They set up chairs and stuff like that. And it was a lot of fun, man. It's always weird performing at Hometown and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you get to see people you haven't seen since like high school.
Yeah, yeah.
College, people turn around to see it's like, man, this is awesome. But yeah, man, I just been working on stand up and trying to stay alive with my diverticulitis.
Oh, hey,
yeah, it's not fun, man.
Not anything with itis at the end of it is not fun.
It's not fun, man. It's the shit that took out Brock Lesnar.
Oh yeah,
that's what I got.
Really?
Yeah, so I got like a stomach of a 5-year-old. So I can't have spicy food.
Oh no,
I can't enjoy popcorn anymore.
Oh no, buddy.
So it's you know how ridiculous it is to go to the movies and not have popcorn, dude.
Yeah. Well, yeah, a lot of people that is a thing.
It's mandatory.
It seems that way for a lot of people.
I haven't had popcorn in the movies
forever.
In a very long
really?
Time.
Really? Yeah, yeah. It's not my thing.
It's probably
man.
Been at least
five, six, 8 years.
But, wait a minute.
But yeah. Meanwhile, on the flip side, I'll see movies at 10 in the morning in a theater full of people, all of them drinking soda and eating popcorn like it's nothing at 10 in the morning.
Hold up. I get it. But. You two go to the movies and you do not get...
No concessions.
No, really?
No concessions.
Straight in, watch the movie.
You guys are straight edge kind of guy.
Well, you know, dude, that shit is expensive, man. Also, growing up, I grew up in a type of family where my mom was like, hey, let's put some candy in some sandwich bags, stuff them in our pockets.
What do you smuggle in?
Well, back then, it was whatever my mom could smuggle in. But if I was going to do it now, I mean, I would maybe get some, like, mini candy bars, like some small Three Musketeers, some small some small Milky Way, something like that, you know? M&M's, but I'm not really much of a candy guy. When I go see the movie, I want to see the movie, man. And I've been with people who are like, I need to get my popcorn. I'm like, all right. Cool.
It's part of
I'm not gonna look down on it. It is.
You
part
don't
of,
eat whatsoever. Drew?
Yeah, no, not during the movie.
Holy shit!
Yeah.
I mean, this is amazing.
If I'm watching like a DVD or something at the house, I'll snack.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
If I'm home, but I'll go eat crazy. I'll get a whole barbecue meal if I'm at home, you know. Or if it's a theater that's set up for you to eat, like at the Enzion or at the Enzion Theater, I'll get some beers.
Mandatory.
At the Enzion, it's mandatory to get beers. And sometimes I'll get some food there because they have some pretty good food.
But
because it's the Enzion, it's more of a special experience.
I don't
experience.
Like that. I don't like tables.
The tables within the clanking of the plates.
I don't
and
like
ding,
tables
ding, ding.
At a movie theater.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a snob when it comes to that.
You want the stadium seating type of deal?
I didn't like it in the beginning, but I've grown to really like it here at the Enzion.
Enzion's nice. Yeah. It's a nice setup.
And so far, that movie theater in downtown is...
The Plaza.
That's
I haven't been
amazing.
There.
That's a really nice
dude,
theater.
You got, like, these leather couches you guys have
in
studio here.
Yeah, yeah.
That type of set. Like,
it's like one entire couch is your seat. Yeah. The AMC down at Downtown Disney, they're converting that into the dine-in theaters they do, where it's like the theater downtown where it's the big leather seats with the big armrest. But the armrests, they pop up, and there's a table that can flop out in front of you, and you have a call button. You can call someone to come over, and they'll take your order, and you can get burgers and beers and stuff, and they'll bring them to you during the movie.
That's amazing.
That is pretty sweet. So that's how they're trying to get people, you know, back into the theater. Although they say that, but then 2013 was the number one grossing year for Hollywood ever of all time in the history of Hollywood making money.
What helped it there? What do you think? The Avenger movie?
No, Avengers was the year before.
A year before.
What helped it was there being more movies than ever and, you know, somewhat inflated ticket prices.
Last year?
There were a decent amount of sequels. 2015 is going to be the year of sequels and spinoffs and reboots. 2015 is crazy. But first, you got to get through that 2014. Before we can get through 2014, we got to review 2013. Before we can review 2013... We got to start the show. Let's get into the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. We got the Crespo Diesel Randomizer 9000. Shake it up. Yeah, popcorn in the theater. I don't know. It's in my teeth. And then I got to get a soda. And then I got to go to the bathroom halfway through the movie. It's all. And then it set me back $15, $20. Before you read it out, give it to Drew so he can verify it. Because you know how they, you know, Pedro.
Oh, that's right.
They just dumped like 90
they
movies.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then they added like 50. And then of those 50, like five of them are all right.
Are good.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of give and take there. It's mostly take.
Well, Netflix is doing the next step. You know what I mean?
That original
orange,
programming.
That Orange New Black was fun.
And
good?
House of Cards Season 2 is getting ready to start.
I have not seen House of Cards.
It's good.
It's really good.
Might as well. Season 2 is going to debut, I think, in January. So you might as well crush that first season. The first two episodes are directed by David Fincher, who directed, you know, Fight Club and Seven and all these movies. So you might as well just look at the first two episodes as its own movie, as a new movie directed by David Fincher.
Yeah.
Which is pretty badass. You know. All right, so what's the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week?
That would be Control Room.
Oh, you know what? That's actually one of the new ones that they just added.
What is it?
It's a documentary.
Documentary.
From,
I
want to say, 2004. And it's about Al Jazeera TV. Over in the Middle East,
okay,
when they first started out. So obviously a lot of the focus is on the Iraq War and how that gets reported. But it's about news in general, global news. They have cameras inside the Al Jazeera offices, and you can see them doing their thing and all the people working there. And then they talk to like certain people in there, like they're journalists, and they're like, where would be the one place in the world? Where would be like, what's the best news organization for you that you want to work at? And a lot of them are like, oh, Fox News. Like they're number one. Fox News is where it's at.
They're the only ones doing news. As sad as that may sound.
With Fox?
Yeah.
Here? It depends.
CNN's not doing news
anymore. No, they stopped doing news. Even headline news, I watched that. And for every hour of news, there's like 5 minutes of actual stuff that happens in the world. Everything else is like, look at this puppy.
Yeah.
Here's a car chase.
Look what they're doing to the fishes in SeaWorld.
But Al Jazeera. Yeah, exactly, right? That whole blackfish thing. Oh, man,
We'll jump on that.
That's ridiculous. But Al Jazeera TV, they're more like, their whole thing is like, you know, they have Al Jazeera America now.
Yes. Yeah.
And part of their thing is no advertising. There's no advertising on that channel whatsoever. They want to be a news source. And people hear Al Jazeera, they think, ooh, it sounds Middle Eastern-y. They're bad guys, you know, because people are prejudiced and racist without really thinking about it. But the big thing is they got a bad rap in 03, 04 when Osama bin Laden put out some videos, and then they played videos as news.
Yeah. They were the main story. They were like getting the underground tapes.
Because they were the only ones that would play it. No one else would play it. Like American media outlets were afraid to play it because they didn't want to be like seen as anti-patriotic in a time when this country was super rah-rah America, you know, post 9/11. Al Jazeera, they were like, this is news. People... Yeah. This guy is declaring war on the world. We should hear what he's trying to say, you know. But people don't want to hear that. Freedom fries, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. But Control Room goes really into what Al Jazeera is all about then and their aspirations then. It's interesting to watch that movie at that time in 2004. And now 10 years later, boom, they're here in America. And we actually just got it recently with our own cable provider, who shall remain unnamed for general
reasons. Skrillex Remix.
For sponsorship reasons?
Possible sponsorship reasons, or maybe I just don't want to hate on them right now. Yeah, maybe they might want to sponsor us down the road, and then I can stop. I don't want to hate on them. You never know.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, man, you're so optimistic.
I am optimistic. I try to
really
be.
He really is.
I am trying to get a suit,
you're bottling
though.
That hate. It's not good.
Dude, if you want to get a suit, let's just do it. Let's just hate on
them. No, I'm not trying to get sued by them. I'm trying to get sued by all like the movies that I'm stealing from. I'm trying to get sued by like Warner Brothers or something. Yeah. You know, all the music
get
that I steal.
Get a cease and desist. That's
exactly.
The
Oh, thing. I want to Instagram a cease and desist so bad. I want to Instagram vid me setting it on fire.
That was me and Angel's motto.
Yeah,
pretty much. Don't stop until you get a cease and desist.
Yep. Yeah,
exactly.
That is the way to do it. Well, Control Room, awesome pick. I highly recommend it.
I'll
job.
Check it out.
Good job.
I'm into more documentaries because there hasn't been that many movies.
Good stuff.
Yeah, and good documentary is like it hits that sweet spot of I feel like I've been entertained and I learned a little something. You know, I mean, you also have to consider the source too.
Blackfish was interesting for me when I saw it. And then I was like, I made some phone calls because I know some people at SeaWorld.
Uh-huh.
And getting to talk to them.
Yeah.
And then seeing, it's like, this is a CNN movie.
Well, they did air it on CNN.
No wonder they're pimping it out.
They got that weird distribution deal where they got to play it on CNN. And then the weird thing is, because it's a documentary, it's on CNN, people took it all at face value, like it's the fucking news.
Yeah.
When it's not, it's a documentary. People forget documentary is just another genre of film.
Yeah.
It's like horror,
comedy, edit it out.
Sci-fi, right. It's all about the editing. It's all about telling a story.
Yeah.
Because now they're coming out, some of the people that were in that documentary.
Yes, it's starting to come out now.
I wasn't... That wasn't my intention. I just wanted to talk about my girl.
Yeah, this Dawn.
And it turned into this other movement.
About how we gotta free the killer whales.
And yeah, because the cover up is a pretty much interesting story all by itself.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of interesting stuff in there, and the documentarian did uncover some new footage through her research, but a lot of the stuff in that movie is apparently culled from like YouTube stuff that's already been reported in the news. A lot of it's not new anyway. People that spoke out against SeaWorld's practices in the movie, she identified him as like, ooh, marine biologist, without going on to say who's also the head of this like anti-SeaWorld organization, you know, to show their true colors. And there's only like 4 or 5 people that she interviews. Yeah. How many people have been employed by SeaWorld over
thousands
years? And now that this, like you said, this one trainer who wasn't interviewed in the movie but did provide a lot of back behind the scenes stuff, she came out and said, "Wow, I thought they were making a movie that was going to be more about Dawn and the truth of that, and instead it's this whole other thing about."
They just spinned it because it's like, okay, we got all this footage about this chick and the cover up, but that's not sexy enough.
It's not enough.
No,
we need something sexy that's going to get people riled up and maybe do some protests.
Hey, what giant group could we get their money to throw behind us? Oh, yeah. PETA. Hey, what
they'll throw their
like
money on anything. Those assholes.
They are assholes.
They're hilarious assholes. Because I remember when Siegfried or Roy, whichever one got bit by the cat.
Yeah.
got his neck all chewed up.
Uh-huh.
They faxed him a letter saying, this is what you deserve.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Like, when he was in the hospital, they faxed him that letter. It's like, you cold bastards.
What a bunch of jerks, man.
But it's funny, though, that they used the fax machine to send that message. That is,
because that wasn't even that long ago. That was only like 5 or 6 years ago.
That was, I was in New York when that went down.
Idiots. There's, you remember that Penn and Teller series bullshit?
Yes.
I think it was a Showtime series?
Showtime series,
I saw, for a while it was on the Netflix. I don't think it's on there anymore. But they did one episode about PETA and their whole, all their shenanigans and what they're really, really about. And you watch that episode and you wouldn't trust PETA anymore.
That's the thing. I'm skeptical off the go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm skeptical about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you tell me something, I'm like, ah, all right.
Yeah, sure. Whatever you say. Let's Google that
and
shit.
And then I start looking it up. Not to prove you wrong or anything like that, but it's just...
I want a second source.
There's so much miscommunication out there.
And actually...
And people run with it.
We are going to talk a lot about that in the second half, the whole Meryl Streep thing, where she came out and dogged Walt Disney.
I'm pretty sure she didn't say half that shit. Did she?
What? No, she did. No, oh, she did. No, she came out. She came out and said a bunch of crazy shit, but she's repeating shit that she's heard. So we're gonna talk about in the second half.
Yeah,
all the shit that she said.
Because the way
and what's really true and what's not.
How they sandbagged Tom Cruise when he was saying about acting is like going to war. He never said
no,
that.
No, no. He said being away from his child was like, I can imagine what it's like. You know, it's like someone going to Afghanistan. They're away from their child. He was just talking about the aspect of being a stranger.
Oh, he compared acting to going to war. What an asshole. It's like, nah, that's not what he said. But people ran with it and just bashed him.
And then once the truth comes out, are people running with the truth? Like, oh, that's what he really said? Oh, well, I don't give a shit.
No.
I'm not going to retweet that one. I'll retweet the first one.
Yep.
All right. So let's get into the box office review for the weekend. Let's, Drew, I'm looking at the list here. What's the lowest one?
Number 15?
Number 15 is what I saw. Number 15 movie for this weekend is, go ahead, Drew. Tell me what it is.
I was about to say, are we switching it up this week?
I'll look at the list
here. Is that what we're doing?
It is a new year, season 2. Things might be getting switched up. No, you go ahead and do it.
All right, number 15 this week, we have Inside Llewyn Davis. Had a weekend gross of $1.876 million. Total gross of 9.3 on a budget of something.
No, it's probably 20, 30 million. The Coen Brothers movies are always super cheap. Their most expensive movie has to be like, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Which even then maybe only cost them 20, 30 million? No. These guys, they make movies on such small budgets. That's why they get to keep making weird movies.
So how was it, Chris?
Inside Llewyn Davis is it's a great little movie. It's really good. It's do you know this one, Pedro?
I've seen the trailer, but I haven't seen the movie.
It's about 1961 New York City, Greenwich Village, folk music scene. And it's about this one guy, Llewyn Davis, and one week in his life. And it's pretty much a week where it's kind of like make it or break it for him. He's struggling. He's couch surfing at friends' apartments. You know, he's always looking for a place to stay. He has no money. He's kind of an asshole. Actually, he's a big asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And the only time when the guy's really likable is when he's playing his guitar and he's singing. He's on stage. He's performing. He's quite good. And the actor, Oscar Isaac, he's doing it all himself. He's singing and playing the guitar. He's great. He's actually really good. So it was a good find for the Coens to get this guy to be their lead. Did you see Sucker Punch? Remember that one?
I did see that horrible movie.
Remember the guy who ran the brothel with the mustache, little guy?
That's him?
That's Oscar. That guy, Oscar Isaac. Yeah, yeah. He's been in a bunch of stuff recently. Did you see the latest Bourne movie? The one with Jeremy Renner?
I only saw one Bourne movie.
Oh, really? Was it one of the shaky ones?
The first one.
Oh, the first one, the non-shaky one.
Okay, yeah.
There's a lot less shaking in that one. The camera's like in the second and third
one.
Yeah,
really I liked it. It just, for some reason, it wasn't one of those that, I got to see part two.
Right on.
Like Hangover, I stopped at one.
Yeah.
Good call. Actually, the third one, you might like the third one because it's a dark, it's crazy movie, man.
That's what everyone tells me.
Really? Yeah.
It's like skip two is just like if they rehash one.
Then
three, just go with it.
And three is something totally, don't even look at it. It's not even a comedy. The third one, they didn't even bother making a comedy. Like, we're going to make a thriller.
Oh, that's cool.
With a little bit of comedy in it. You know, it's interesting. But Inside Llewyn Davis, it's speaking of kind of a comedy, it's kind of a comedy, but it's also kind of sad. It's good. I really, really like it. Great acting. It's the Coens. I mean, I'm a sucker for their movies, though. So I feel like I'm not the exact right person to really recommend the Coen Brothers movie because I'll recommend them all. I'll say fucking go see them all. They're all great.
Yeah.
I even like the Intolerable Cruelty, and that movie's kind of a piece of shit, but I still liked it.
I didn't mind it.
The Lady Killers. Remember that one? Did you see that one with Tom Hanks?
I never saw Lady Killers.
Never saw that one.
It wasn't that good, but I liked it. because of the Coen Brothers movie. So, so I would say Inside Llewyn Davis, if you get a chance, go see it in a theater. As a matter of fact,
in a theater.
Yeah, yeah, because that's how we do. You know, in a theater, Redbox. If you're not into character-driven movies, if you have to have a lot of plot, if there has to be like a car chase or people trying to get like a bag of money or something, maybe this isn't the movie for you. But if you like movies that are about character and people and the way to interact with each other, it, you know, it's a very small plot type movie, but very big on character and characterization. If you like that type of stuff, then you'll love it.
This is what Coen Brothers did, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Yes. And they also did...
Fargo.
Okay, so they also did No Country for Old Men, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I like their movies.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot watch them in the theater.
Why not?
It's the type of movie that puts me to sleep.
They're very deliberately paced. They have their way, their style, where it's like...
Like No Country for Old Men, every scene that Tommy Lee Jones was on put me to sleep.
Well, the movie was about him, so...
And he's grumbling the whole time, and there's like no music in that movie whatsoever.
And my wife would wake me up. Wake up.
Yeah.
But I loved the movie.
Right.
I loved the movie.
But it just lulls you in somehow.
Llewyn
Davis could do the same thing, this movie, because it definitely has its moments where it's like there's a scene where a great sequence where they're driving. He's on a road trip to Chicago, and John Goodman plays this like old fucked up jazz man who's like in the back seat the whole time. Mm-hmm. And there's stretches of this road trip where it's like shots of the long desolate landscape, and there's no talking because the guy who's driving is a dude from Tron Legacy, and he plays a beat poet, but other than when he's saying his bad poetry, he doesn't speak.
So it would have been best if he was in his Tron Legacy
outfit. No, he's actually wearing like a bomber jacket. And at first, I didn't know what his deal was because he looked like some random like tough guy dude.
No.
But then he starts going into beat poetry. I'm like, what the fuck is this guy? It was actually pretty funny. And but other than that, he doesn't speak at all. So there's like long stretches, and then John Goodman's sleeping in the back, so it's quiet.
So that's what I'm saying. Yeah, those type of movies,
that type of stuff. I can see that putting you to bed.
I have not seen this movie, but I'm going to recommend this movie at home with a glass of wine.
There you go.
And pace yourself.
And a snuggie.
Yeah, snuggie. Just soak it in and enjoy half the movie.
Take
and
a nap.
The other half. Yeah, it's one of those.
Watch the other half. The next
day. Like a leftover movie.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
That happens sometimes with leftovers. I really enjoyed it. I would definitely recommend people checking it out. And also one new thing I want to do for a second season. Drew, we talked about this. I don't think we talked about this on the show. I want to start reviewing actual movie theaters themselves.
Oh.
I think we might have talked about it.
I think so? Well, we're going to start now. Because when I saw Llewyn Davis, I saw it at a theater I've never been to before.
Okay.
Because just because the way where it was playing, you know, and the way my schedule was that day, ended up seeing it at the Amstar 12 in Lake Mary. Ever been there?
No.
Have you even heard of it?
No, Lake Mary's not my spot.
No, not my spot either, but it was the closest place where I could go check it out. The Amstar 12. What the hell is an Amstar?
It's I don't know.
It wasn't even an AMC. It wasn't a Regal. It was its own thing.
Amstar.
Placed straight out of the 90s. Like, first off, the theater is like in a strip mall
Sweet.
Type of deal. Like a Winter Park Village type of thing where everything's outside.
Okay.
And there's like restaurants around there, like an Italian, a pizza place, and there's like a wine place. And they were all kind of busy.
Yeah.
So there were people out there. And this was on Friday. Kind of late on Friday, kind of late at night, but still on a Friday. These places had people. The theater was fucking empty.
Dead.
No one at this goddamn theater.
Really?
Yes.
Sweet.
And I mean, the lobby, I walked in, and there were like two people ahead of me in the lobby. Old concession stand. The whole theater is straight out of the 90s. Like the decor, the carpeting, the lighting,
they
everything.
They haven't updated it at
all. Kurt Cobain posters.
Yes.
All the place.
Yeah, yeah. It was straight out of the 90s.
Everybody's wearing flannel.
It's like, what the time warp here? Dancing with Wolves is still playing in one of the theaters at the down the hall. They had a little arcade room, the typical arcade room off to the side.
What's
shitty...
a typical arcade room? Because that's the biggest beef that I have.
They're the worst.
Yeah.
They are the worst.
They have the stupid crane.
Yep. Crane game.
They always have like
a
driving game and a stupid time crisis shooting game.
Some sort of gun game. And then this one had an air hockey table.
Nice.
That's very 90s air hockey.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine with an air hockey table.
But yeah, let's have all that other shit.
If you don't have a Ms. Pac-Man Galaga machine, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, you're worthless.
That is mandatory.
Those are the best. And that's got to be Ms. Pac-Man. Pac-Man's
Ms.
cool.
Pac-Man.
But Ms. Pac-Man's the faster one.
Yeah.
So anyway, then I get into the theater itself, and at least it was stadium seating, you know, and it was clean, so I can appreciate that. And the people that were there were nice, so that was cool. The theater ticket price wasn't too bad. I can't remember how much I paid, but it wasn't too bad. You know what I did like about this theater? I'll give them a plus for this. When I sat down you know, it's like movie starts, I don't know, 10:15 starts. They gave me like one screen that was like, here are your exit points. Please shut off your phone. They played, I think, four trailers, and then the movie started.
Nice.
So I was like,
none of this AMC bullshit.
Dude, AMC is the fucking worst, man. I know we're not talking about AMC movie theaters
right now. You don't like trailers?
No, I love the trailers. But AMC, they do this thing where they play, first they'll play a 2-minute clip of like, they have these little red dot characters, and some of them have like glasses and stuff, and they're going through this big elaborate thing that's all about, you know, silence your phones, throw away your trash, and follow the exits. But they try to make this big entertaining thing, and it's loud and noisy and they run into a thing of cows, and the cows land in their sidecar. It makes no sense. It's so stupid, long, and annoying. And then they play AMC. They love to play like 7 trailers. I love trailers, but they can go overboard. They'll play 7-8 fucking trailers. Yeah. It's like 20 minutes of trailers. Then when that's done, they will play you another fucking animated thing that's supposed to be about silencing your phones, but it's the phone is a dog, and you're walking your phone, and a bear eats it, and it knocks over a trash can to make even more fucking noise. It's so noisy. And then it goes to a thing where they're finding a giant goddamn Coca-Cola, and they're putting that in this huge thing, and there's helicopters. This guy got the straw, and he puts a straw. It's like, what the fuck? Just start the goddamn movie! I just want them to start the movie.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all I want, man. It's like, dude, it's like 22 minutes of that bullshit. At least at this Amstar 12, where everything else kind of sucked. At least, like, within 5 minutes of the showtime, 6 minutes, my
but
movie
it takes
was starting.
Them, all they gotta do is just pop into VHS.
All they gotta do is hit a button it. These days. It is all digital. And then this whole, with the message, look, put on a screen. It says, shut off your phone. Here's another screen. Throw away your shit. Here's another screen. Exits with arrows. Done. Enjoy the movie. You don't have to animate all this shit. And then it costs them so much money, you know. They're going to be playing it for months and months and oh my god. So Amstar 12, I don't know. If I was going to, I guess, well, how are we going to rate them?
Out of five stars.
If popcorn is such an essential thing, I guess we'll rate them out of popcorn bags. Out of five popcorn bags. Those people like silly rating things like that. I will give the Amstar 12 2.5 bags. Of unbuttered.
So, unbuttered.
Unbuttered.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
That's salted or not?
Salted.
That's okay. A C-.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. There's going to be some nuance in there in the rating system. All right, so there you go. Let's move on, Drew, to the next movie on
Number 11 this week.
Number 11.
Spike Jonze's Her.
Her, here we go.
Had a weekend gross of $5.4 million, total gross of $8.8 on a budget of probably not a lot.
I mean, maybe 50 or 60 million, I would imagine.
Really?
I would think so. There is a lot of special effects in that movie. And a blending of cities. Like, digitally, they blended Shanghai with, like, Los Angeles to make their own new city that looked all crazy. It was a cool movie, man. So we saw that. Do you have any interest at all in seeing this movie?
I kind of do, but not. It's not one of those that I'll go to the movie
theater. You're not going to rush out to go see it?
To see it.
I wouldn't say. Even if I loved the movie, I wouldn't say rush out and go see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
See it on your own pace when you're ready for it.
Exactly.
Yeah. You want to have an open mind about
it. Because to me, it's like a reboot of Electric Dreams.
I don't remember.
Remember
that
Electric
one.
Dreams?
No, I don't.
The guy, it's when computers first came out. It's an 80s movie.
Uh-huh.
He goes, he buys a computer, and he spills something. The computer comes to life.
Oh, nice.
And the computer, like, he falls in love with the neighbor, and then the computer also falls in love with the neighbor.
Oh.
And now the computer starts messing around with him.
Oh, wow. That sounds like fun.
Stuff. Yeah.
It also sounds very 80s. Like,
yeah. Oh, it's so 80s.
Like weird science.
It has
shit.
That
yeah.
middle, that automated middle of the movie soundtrack.
Oh yeah, where it's like the montage.
The montage.
Yeah, I can already hear it. That's funny. What is a little like that? It's more. It's in the near future, unspecified amount of time in the future.
Where people wear waist high pants.
Where waist high pants.
Everybody wears
are back.
Waisties.
You know the old school.
They're back.
That's back in fashion apparently, which is cool. There's this new operating system. It's an OS, and it's the first ever artificial intelligent OS, AIOS. Joaquin Phoenix is a somewhat socially awkward guy. He's going through a divorce, you know. He gets this AI.
Right there, it's unbelievable.
Right, why?
Right there. Because he's going, socially awkward guy going through a divorce.
Oh, right, just, yeah, never heard that before.
Yeah.
A guy who communicates through his computers.
Why not through a breakup or anything like that? But divorce, all right, now we're stretching it. Hipster.
And it turns the AI on, and it has the sexy voice of Scarlett Johansson.
Which I think that's what the movie is. It's just ear porn.
Yeah,
it's pretty much.
There's a lot of that, actually.
There's some of that, actually.
A lot of that.
If you want to see a little bit of what could be like phone sex, I guess. Actually, there is actual phone sex at one point with Joaquin Phoenix and an unseen girl. And then he has the equivalent of phone sex with his OS at one point.
Now, let me ask you. Did he have a feature where he get to pick the voices and stuff like that? Or it came with her?
It automatically just like picked her voice.
He got to pick male or female.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
Okay, the mail was like Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh, man. I downloaded this for you.
Check out this app. Oh, my God.
There's a nice Asian restaurant. I don't know if you would like to go or not.
That's a whole different movie.
Oh, dude, but the parodies are just there for it.
That totally.
That is totally. Oh, my God. I want to see that. I want to see that. Yeah. I really do. All right, but that didn't happen to this one. This one, it's a sultry voice of ScarJo. Actually, when they made the movie, it was with some other actress. I forgot who. I think maybe Chloe Savini. I have no idea. Someone else did the voice during the filming of the movie. And then for whatever reason, they're like,
because it's who is she? Chloe Savini.
Well, I don't even think it was that. It might not have been that actress. It was someone.
No, but they had to pick an actress
who people like, oh, or ScarJo.
That is sexy and a big name.
Yeah.
To push it.
That makes sense.
You know what I mean? You're not going to go see.
People know her name. Like, she's pretty famous.
It's Chloe Sevigny.
Who the fuck is Chloe Sevigny? Scarlett Johansson? She's hot.
That's the girl that blew that guy in that movie?
Yeah, Brown Bunny.
Brown Bunny?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. That is a hard selling point, actually. She blew Vincent Gallo. All right, so her is a... It's funny. When you say romantic comedy, people conjure up these really brightly colored, poorly made, low ethic, low moral threshold romantic comedy. Start with Katherine Heigl and all this shit. But I still want to call this movie a romantic comedy because it's very much about romance
and
love.
Funny.
And it's still quite funny.
Is it?
Yeah, even though there's times when it'll get,
sad.
Yeah. Spike Jonze is kind of the king of mixing the funny and the irreverent with like the really profoundly sad. Being John Malkovich, Adaptation, Where the Wild Things Are, all these movies, they're all funny. They all have funny moments, but at the end of the day, they're all profoundly fucking sad films.
Yeah.
So when the movie ended, were you like, man, that's...
When the movie ended, kind of. I was like, man, I felt like that was...
Yeah.
The word I would use to describe this movie is emotional.
Yeah, like, totally.
It's a very emotional film. There's a lot going on with the characters.
Because if you peel the onion of that movie and just realize this guy is just in love with this.
Yeah. Well,
with this woman's voice.
With this plastic thing.
Yeah, but it has a hot girl's voice.
But is
program nobody else had the same phone?
No, well, that's the thing. Other people, I don't want to start giving away what happens in the movie. But
the ending
is
that?
They do... things that you would wonder about.
Well, it's an AI.
All your normal questions, things you would normal about, all that stuff actually ends up getting addressed throughout the movie, which is why the movie ends up being so great. Because while it is a centered movie, is about this relationship, it ends up being about more. And it expands in a way that I wasn't expecting it to, but after it did, I was like, oh, that made sense.
It got into some pretty heavy questions about artificial intelligence and what is life.
And metaphysics. And
things of that nature. It's a heavy.
I'm changing my thing. I might have to go see this movie.
The Lairs,
it's an intriguing movie.
It's ridiculous.
And just
Joaquin Phoenix is amazing.
Yeah, superficially speaking,
holy
the acting
shit.
Is great. Joaquin Phoenix is great. The movie is beautiful. Like, it's shot gorgeous. The production design is great. The music. Most
I love
of it's by Arcade Fire.
The computer screens.
All the computer screens and designs were all beautiful. Arcade Fire, who I don't even really like them that
much. And Karen
O. And Karen O, they did the score, and it's a fucking great score, which has not been released yet. There's no release date yet for the soundtrack, which, goddammit.
It makes me angry because I want to buy it right now.
I want to listen to that shit, So, I would say go see it. I would say, for the most part, go see it in a theater. But be ready for it, though. Be ready for a movie. Be ready for a movie that's funny, but it's also going to get a little heavy one. On you. And it is weird.
It's about a guy falling in love with an AI. Yes, so it's already, it's a little bit out there.
Yes, you have to be able to go with that. But if you do, if you go along for that ride, I think it's really rewarding.
Yeah, totally.
But otherwise, you know, hey, if you wait for a red box or whatever, it's cool. I wouldn't blame anyone.
As long as you see it, though.
It's one
of these movies that needs to be seen, I think.
Agreed. Cool. Agreed. All right, so let's. That's number 11.
Yeah.
People go. How many theaters is it in?
1,700
theaters. People go see it. All right. Let's move up to number 5.
All right, number 5 this week, American Hustle.
Ah, great movie.
Weekly gross $8.6 million. Total gross of $101.56 on a budget of 40. Good job. They made some money.
Pedro, you got to see this one, man.
I want to see that. That's one of the movies that I wanted to see when I was in Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
We wanted to see it, but the movie theaters there worked like in a weird schedule. Like, I figured movies would have like a 12, 1, 2 o'clock. They had a 12 o'clock showing, mm-hmm. and then the next showing wouldn't be until 5 o'clock.
Oh, really? Weird. A big gap in there?
Thing. It's like, oh, no, I can't. I have a show at 7.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah, you got to get there earlier.
So it sucked. And then getting up early to go see a movie is just not my thing.
Yeah, I've gotten used to that.
Yeah, we do that quite often. Right,
because the matinees are cheaper, yeah. and then there are less crowds. So for the most part, I'll be up. If I'm getting up early... I'll go see a movie. Yeah, what the hell else am I going to go do? You know, but American Hustle, I think it's great. People go see it. Drew, right?
Agreed.
Go to ChrisCrespo.com to check out my review.
ChrisCrespo.com.
All right, what's the number 4 movie?
Number 4 this week, The Legend of Hercules.
Hercules.
Weekend gross $8.6 million. Sims total budget of 70.
Brand new movie. We didn't see it.
Nope. Don't care.
No interest whatsoever.
No.
Zero interest.
I was interested at first. When I thought that the new Hercules movie was starring The Rock and directed by the guy that did Die Hard 2. But then I found out that they rushed this one. Well, yeah, there are two Hercules movies, yeah. and they rushed this one to beat the other one. The one with The Rock comes out this summer, and that one's directed by Brett Ratner, who I fucking hate.
The Rat.
And then the one directed by the guy who did Die Hard 2 and Cliffhanger, Rennie Harlan, he did this one with fucking Kellan Lutz, the guy from Twilight, and all the commercials make it look like a horrible, like, 300 ripoff, you know, and it just looks like shit.
It's funny when Hollywood rushes out movies like that. They did it with Volcano back in the day.
Yeah, Volcano and Dante's Peak.
The two asteroid movies.
Armageddon and Deep Impact.
And Deep Impact.
Last year, that happened a bunch. Last year, we had Olympus Has Fallen and White House Down.
Correct.
So two White House Under a Siege movies. What else? There was This Is the End and The World's End,
yeah.
two buddies partying during like End of the World type movies. There were like two more that were just like that. Oh, I can't remember them. Oh, Spring Breakers and The Bling Ring, which are both about young girls committing crimes for their lavish lifestyle type of movies. You know, and that shit happens, man. It's crazy when it happens, but it does.
I like it when Netflix does it.
Yeah.
Oh, because Netflix will have like Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Yeah, and then
and
they'll
then
show
Abraham
you.
Abraham Lincoln Hunter of Vampires.
Yes.
Or there's that one Lincoln versus Zombies or
something like that. Yeah, it's not the same as the other one.
It's like, here's Transformers. And Transmorphers. You may also like Transmorphers.
Yes. Transmorphers. I saw that.
Did you really?
Dude, I was flipping through sci-fi and they're playing Transmorphers.
Yeah.
That's Asylum Entertainment, man. Sci-fi is amazing because they'll put the shittiest movie.
Yeah, they will.
Oh, yeah.
Because they know people will watch them.
And they don't care.
Nope.
No.
They don't care. We need something with tornadoes. Sharknado.
Sharknado. Jump. Put it up.
Roll it.
Yep. And then, exactly.
And then so many people end up watching and they're like, sweet. Man.
Because it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Everybody wants that Mystery 1000 experience.
Yeah, everyone wants to do their own riff tracks, making fun of the movie. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. Everyone wants to feel superior to what they're watching. What you could probably do with Legend of Hercules. That seems like it's sci-fi already. Mm. Number 3 movie, Drew.
Number 3, The Wolf of Wall Street. Weekend gross $9 million. Total gross $78.5 on a budget of $100.
This is going to be Martin Scorsese's 4th $100 million movie.
Good for him. Well, it cost $100 million, so he better break even.
Yeah, it'll break even. And then international make his money. And, of course, all of the movies for Scorsese that made $100 million minimum?
Leo
DiCaprio. All of them. Thank God for DiCaprio. He helped resuscitate Scorsese's career here late. He's the only reason why Scorsese is still making movies for a number of reasons. Scorsese has said so himself.
Really?
Yeah. He revitalized him creatively because they share a lot of the same interests, and DiCaprio loves movies and loves making movies. And then with DiCaprio's box office sway and his clout, he helps him get movies made.
Yeah, that Great Gatsby, huh?
Oh, that was god awful.
That didn't make too much money for him, though.
Bad movie.
But then, you know, on the flip side, he's got this. Wolf of Wall Street's making a lot of money. Just a couple years ago, Inception made $600, $700 million worldwide.
You know? Oh, Mr. Nolan.
And then he's always the old Titanic kid. So, hey, you know, I think the character is going to be fine.
Be good. Still cashing on that beach money.
Still cashing on that.
That
beach
was fuck
money.
You money.
Beach. Wolf of Wall Street, man. That's a movie, bro.
Yeah.
That's a great movie. I mean, it's Scorsese.
That's
though,
also so. In my queue. I gotta.
It's a good one.
Of all the movies out, I would say that's the one where that's most worth seeing in a movie theater would be
over American Hustle.
Yeah. Yeah,
really? Oh, yeah.
Because the movie
totally.
Is so big and bombastic and in your face and shit that you're going to want it to be like, whoa.
It is a long one, though.
Yeah, yes, but that's what Scorsese does.
It is what he does. And I thought it's a fast 3 hours for me, you know. And it
was a lie.
No, for me it was. And I saw it at the end of a long day, a day in which we had seen another movie earlier that day. We saw a movie, we did a bunch of shit, and then we went and saw Wolf of Wall Street at the end of the day. 3 hours, I was still into it the whole time.
Jeez.
So. And not me. I'll fucking fall asleep during a movie. I'll fall asleep during some shit like that. Don't threaten me with a nice rest. Number two movie.
Number two this week, Frozen.
Goddamn, making money.
Pedro's favorite movie.
$15 million.
Telegraph's $317.6 on a budget of $150.
$317 million.
It's amazing that movie. I got to take my kids because I take my kids to see every cartoon movie that ever comes out.
Uh-huh.
And I saw this one in New Jersey because I was there for the holidays for Thanksgiving, went to see the movie. And I was really optimistic about it. I really thought that it was going to be a cool little movie with the snowman and stuff like that.
And this guy's really well reviewed.
Yeah, no, I like the message.
I mean, it's made $317 million.
The message is fantastic of, listen, even if people are nice to you, don't trust them.
that's a good message,
don't
actually.
Don't trust them.
Yeah. For the kids, that's a good
message.
Even
if somebody's nice to you, is doing all the nice things, he's going to end up fucking with you at the end. Pretty much is what I'm like watching this shit. It's like, what kind of message is this?
Interesting.
And like this chick meets have you guys seen this
movie? No, not at all. No. Inform us, please.
Oh, she meets this, the sister has some ice powers or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So she gives her like a concussion, almost kills her. So they keep the sisters away. So she doesn't see her sister for like years. They live in the same house, but they keep one sister away. They talk throughout the door and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Then the sister's about to come out, you know, to be a queen or something. Mm-hmm. And she goes out, meets a guy, decides to get married. That same, she meets the guy and says, "We're getting married." Like day one, it's like, what kind of message?
What are you doing?
Like immediately.
But it's I didn't like the movie at all.
Okay.
My kids like it, but kids like any shit with cartoons on it.
Yeah,
you something know bright I mean? And colorful with movement and some jokes.
Every cartoon movie will do good. And the only reason Frozen is this high is because there hasn't been a kid movie out.
There's nothing else out, yeah.
For the longest time. So you have Christmas break,
mm-hmm.
and you have New Year's break.
And you said you saw it around Thanksgiving break, right? This movie's been out for a while now.
So it's surprising 8 weeks. To me that it jumped up too, but it's not that surprising since there's nothing else coming out.
There is nothing else.
So it's like, hey, we got to take the kids to the movies before they go back to school. Let's take them to see Frozen again.
And it's made, so far, Frozen worldwide has made... Da, 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 da. $712 million worldwide.
It's a shitty movie. It's a shitty
movie. Because of the message?
I wasn't...
You're uncomfortable with the message, with all the shit that was going on?
Everything overall was...
Yeah, it wasn't funny. The fun
it wasn't
funny.
It wasn't that great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I'm looking forward to this Lego movie.
Yes!
Oh, it looks so good.
I'm hoping. It's just every time that they...
I want to see it so bad, and I'm 31 years old. You know, I'm looking forward to this Lego movie.
It should be good because it's directed by these guys, Phil Lord and Chris Miller. Or it might be Chris Lord and Phil Miller. I think it's Phil Lord and Chris Miller. They did the first Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs movie,
which is so good.
I love that movie.
I saw the second one. I liked it.
I didn't see the second one. I didn't see that one.
If you like the second one, you'll love the first one.
You didn't see the first one?
No.
Oh, my God. It's so good. And they did 21 Jump Street, which I think that movie's hysterical.
Yeah, I like that movie.
And they're also doing a sequel, 22 Jump Street. So I comedy sequels, never as good as the original, but at least they got the original guys, the same director, so that's a good sign. But those guys are super funny, and between Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs and 21 Jump Street, they show that they can both do kind of family, clean humor that's good for everyone. And they can do the crazy R-rated dirty shit. They do them both great. So I'm excited for anything they do. Lego Movie looks awesome. I love all the Batman shit. They got Will Arnett as Batman. Yeah. It makes me feel good inside just thinking about that. Just the trailer just makes me feel good. All right, so Pedro says, Fuck Frozen.
Fuck it. It's a horrible movie.
And the number one movie.
Lone Survivor. Weekend gross, $38.5 million. Total gross of $38.89 on a budget of $40.
Marky Mark is at it again.
Yep.
Marky Mark in a true life story.
We didn't get a chance to see this one because of with the
scheduling conflicts.
Scheduling and whatnot. I wanted to see inside Llewyn Davis and her, so Lone Survivor got bumped. Plus, you know what? It's January.
Next week is nothing.
There's nothing good coming out for the next few weeks, so I'm going to save Lone Survivor for next weekend. I still got to see Saving Mr. Banks. I haven't seen that one yet at all.
No.
I've been saving. I might as well go fucking see that at some point this week. So Lone Survivor, we didn't see it. Are you going to see that all in the theaters?
That's one of those movies that I want to see in the theater.
Yeah. I mean, definitely, it's a war movie. War movies always benefit from the big screen and being in a dark room. And I do like some Peter Berg movies. You know, Very Bad Things is great.
Very Bad Things is awesome. Yeah,
but no, this is coming off
director?
He's
the director. Yeah, he's the director. It's Peter Berg.
Coming off of Battleship. Battleship.
Battleship was awful.
That movie was so bad I couldn't turn off the TV.
You couldn't turn off fast enough, man. Oh,
no,
God.
I couldn't. It's like
you had to keep watching it.
Train
had
to keep, into it.
You know what
so
part
bad.
Got me? When they play AC/DC, because I'm a huge AC/DC fan. When they play AC/DC with those old guys who are getting like the USS, whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah. Their actual battleship.
The museum. And it's, it just pushed the vending machine out. Come on, we're going to roll out with this. It's like, really? In less than half an hour.
Yeah,
they were able to do it.
And then they have that one guy say, they ain't going to sink this battleship, you know, instead of saying you sunk mine. And they were like, you guys just fucked it all up. You fucked it all up, man.
But that's the thing. If you're going to do a movie of...
On a board game.
Board game. You got to use their catchphrase.
Yeah, it's
you
a one
sunk
thing.
My battleship.
It's not like you have so many different elements and you have to, you know, you're shoehorning so much shit in. It's
like if the
Monopoly
movie comes out, it's like, go to jail.
Directly
do not
to jail.
Collect.
Do not
there better
pass
be some
go,
free
do
parking
not collect
somewhere.
$200.
Yeah. That's going to be there.
I want to see someone pull up in their car and,
free parking.
Yeah,
a community chest.
Yeah.
What's in the community?
Somehow
chest?
There's got to be chance involved.
They've been talking about making that Monopoly movie for a few years now. Really, Scott's been talking about making it, and it just sounds like a bad acid dream, what they talk about wanting to do. New movies coming out on DVD this week. There's actually a bunch of movies on DVD. Captain Phillips comes out.
Capitan.
Which is that's a good one.
The Somali movie.
That's a good one. What?
The Somali
Pirates. Yeah. That guy's good, too. The lead Somali guy. What's
that's his? Fucked up. He's Barkhad not going to get nominated.
He should get nominated for at least supporting actor.
Mm-hmm.
He should be.
He was good.
Although, I don't know if he's been nominated for other Critics Circle stuff, but for
Oscar,
he should
be. That's his first movie.
It is his first movie, yeah. Straight from Minnesota. Like, he moved from...
You know the story, then.
Yeah, he has a crazy story where when the war broke out in Somalia, he was like 6, and they were still living there for about a year before they got out. Then they bounced around a couple countries in Europe before
Minnesota
he
has a big Somali... residency over there.
Yeah, it must have been like one family got over there and told the rest, hey, come join us.
Open casting. They do open casting. He goes there. He nails it. And he was with these other guys. And they liked him, but they weren't that convinced with the other guys.
Right.
And he goes, well, I got friends. Like, can I come back? And he goes, gets with his friends.
Oh, yeah.
Comes back. So everybody in that movie is that dude's friend.
It's his little crew.
And,
Smart guy.
I would love for Hollywood to be like, hey, did we nominate you?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
He should be. Because
he wasn't
great.
A Somali pirate. No. He's just Somali.
He had to lose weight to play the role. They had to do some makeup stuff to his face to make his eyes bug out some
but
more.
But they won't give him that thing. Because they're like, oh, no, he was just being himself.
Nah, oh, man, I
that's
don't know.
That's the type of assholes that Hollywood is.
We'll see. We'll find out actually in a week. Because I think on Friday the 17th, they're announcing the Oscar nominations.
Okay.
So we'll find out soon enough whether the Academy is going to recognize them.
The Golden Globes nominees are out already, right?
I do not think so. The Golden Globe ones?
Yeah. I think they're out.
Maybe they are.
Yeah.
I just saw an advertisement for something about
because the Golden
Grand
Globes
Master.
Is tonight. The Golden Globes
is
tonight.
It is. That's right. It is. Yes, it is. Amy Poehler and Tina Fey. Looking forward to that. Sort
yes.
of.
Not really.
Blue Jasmine comes on DVD. You said you saw this?
I saw it. I really liked it. That's my first Woody Allen movie.
Really?
That I saw because I was on a flight to Germany and the selection of movies weren't good. And I saw Blue Jasmine. Oh, that has Andrew Dice Clay in it.
Yeah, right.
All right, let me see how this is. Dude, it was a very good movie.
Nice.
Like, it's hard to describe it.
It's Woody Allen, so.
Yeah.
But it's pretty much you're witnessing the breakdown of this woman.
Mm-hmm.
Mental breakdown.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's great.
Just deteriorating throughout the film.
Oh, dude. Andrew Dice Clay is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in that movie that acted was great.
It's got great, great reviews. It came out, I think, during the summer. And it was one of these, like, slow burn movies that just kept playing in theaters and a small amount of theaters but kept bouncing around.
And I'm not a Woody Allen fan. I'm not into any of the movies that he's done. Mm-hmm. Like, I find them boring a lot of times.
But this one got you, though.
This one, well, I was trapped in a plane for 9 hours.
Yeah.
That might have a choice.
But it got me because I would have quit. I would have dropped
it
off.
It's easy to just shut it off. Like, I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
Oh, right on. There you go. So Blue Jasmine on DVD. Pedro says, check it out.
Check it.
Machete Kills, which is I was a little disappointed by it, to be honest.
Yeah, it could have been better. Hopefully the third one will be better. Machete in Space.
Actually, is
that the deal? Should be it.
Yeah, they're going into space for the third one.
The third one is going into space. And, you know, at first it was a rumor when they were talking about it. Like Robert Rodriguez, he suggested, like, maybe we'll go into space, maybe. But then when this movie came out, I was like, oh, no, we're definitely going into fucking space. all right, so I don't know. You know, I had this link set up here.
And it didn't work?
No, I had this link set up for new movies coming out on DVD this week. But for some reason, it changed. The movie's coming out next week. So Captain Phillips and Blue Jasmine come out on DVD next week.
Okay.
Coming out on DVD this week. Riddick.
Uh-huh.
Which was disappointing.
Yes, it was.
Was it?
Yeah.
The movie was like 10 years in the making.
I know. It was. Because it's more of a sequel to Pitch Black.
Yeah.
Than it is Chronicles of Riddick.
A Furian and his dog.
Yeah. And it's like three movies smashed into one movie. And all three movies aren't very good. So, Lee Daniels, The Butler, comes out on DVD this week. So you can get down with some Forest Whitaker.
The Oprah movie.
The Oprah movie. Yeah. Yes. Oprah's actually pretty good in it. Gotta say.
She's not bad.
Gotta say, she's not bad. The Carrie remake comes out, which isn't very good.
It's not good?
Nah, no.
I saw the Evil Dead remake, which I liked. Let me put that into movies that I enjoyed.
How was that in terms of, like, the gore? Was that fine for you? I heard it was, like, crazy bloody.
But it wasn't that bad.
Really?
You know what I mean? But there's scenes there that makes you turn.
Yeah.
Which is good. As long if a movie can give you a reaction, they're doing something right.
Right on. Yeah, that makes sense. That James Gandolfini movie, Enough Said, the last one he did where he was a romantic lead with Julia Dreyfus, that comes out on DVD. It's supposed to be a pretty good little movie there. And I think that's it. That's everything that's coming out this week. So, Drew, what's new in theaters? Do we have anything? Because it's January.
Coming out in theaters, Kenneth Branagh's Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit.
Oh, God. Shadow Recruit. Yeah, Jack Ryan movie. Hey, I don't like. You know what it is? I don't like Chris Pine.
What about Kevin Costner?
Kevin Costner's cool.
Keira Knightley?
She's all right.
Kenneth Branagh? Because, you know, he's
Kenneth
the bad
Branagh's
guy.
Well, Kenneth Branagh's cool, yeah.
And he's the director.
He's Kenneth Branagh.
He's Kenneth Branagh.
Kenneth Branagh's William Shakespeare's Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit. What else is coming out?
Ice Cube and Kevin Hart Ride Along.
All right, that one, there's a part of me that actually I do want to see that movie.
What part of you? The part of you that likes dumb comedy?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that part. Yeah. I like Kevin Hart. I think it's funny. But
that's the thing. It's bad. But
it is what it is, though.
But there's bad white comedies too.
Yeah,
there's bad comedies.
But that's the thing is that there's not that many black comedies that come out.
No,
you know what I mean. We all expect like a gangster movie and stuff like that.
Right.
I like the angle that Ice Cube has done with his movies. They're kind of shitty when it comes to standard and stuff like that. But I like them. I liked both Barbershop movies.
Oh, yeah. Barbershop's a good movie.
The Barbershop's good. The second one is not as good, but it's just...
But it's a comedy sequel. Comedy sequels are never
as good. It is. Yeah. And right along... Kevin Hart, listen.
I like Kevin Hart. I just saw him in Grudge Match. He was one of the best parts of Grudge Match.
Of course. That's because that movie...
It wasn't very good.
Movie should not be made.
It was too late.
But they said Kevin Hart is hot.
Yeah, he's hot now. It's exactly that type of
thing. Let's throw him out there.
And also you could tell they're like, we don't really have that many jokes for you. Come up with your own jokes. So everything's like black this, white that. Black this, white that. Like the rest of the movie has nothing to do with race.
Red Along should only be
for this one character.
Red Along should be... somewhat interesting. I think it'll be a surprise.
It'll be funny.
It'll be a surprise. I'm gonna quote it right now. Number two movie.
All right, there you go.
All right, we'll see.
Behind Lone Survivor, Frozen. Lone Survivor, and then
Frozen's gonna be number one
again. That movie's been in the top.
No,
three
you know what? No, I wouldn't be surprised if that movie is number one next week.
Yeah, Kevin Hart's popular, man. He's
Ice
really
Cube and Kevin Hart,
and they're doing heavy promotion for it. I've seen them out there on the circuit. On CNN and shit. On CNN,
Conan,
I saw him.
Around Conan and stuff like that.
So. Yeah, the Conan thing was really funny, actually. I saw that. Anything else coming out, Drew?
Devil's Due.
Oh, found footage horror movie. You know the Hispanics going to turn out for that, Pedro.
No, they don't. It's
They love these stupid fucking movies, man.
Is that Paranormal Activity?
That one came out last week, didn't it?
Yeah.
And that one, how is it doing now?
This is a separate movie.
This is a different one. Yeah, this is a whole other. Devil's Due is Paranormal Activity. The
I
one that just came out was
Paranormal Activity slash Devil's
Due.
Well,
last
the Spanish ones.
Last week it debuted at number two, and now it's at number nine.
Paranormal Activity, the Mark ones. Yeah, and that's the one where it's like all Spanish characters and stuff. They're pandering to the Spanish market. Devil's Due. It's just
the Antichrist is being born.
Found footage. Yeah, Antichrist is born. It's like Rosemary's Baby, but found footage. It looks fucking...
I don't see it. Nah. Who's in that movie?
Nobody you know.
Oh, no that, one. Yeah.
That's not going to crack the top five.
Nobody's. Anything else?
The Nut Job.
That's going to be number two.
There you go. That's a family movie.
Will Arnett, Katherine Heigl, Brendan Fraser, Liam Neeson.
Because that's how the kids are going to come out. The kids decide what
the kids don't care
see.
About who's talking.
Yeah, they do not give a shit at all.
But the thing is, there hasn't been a cartoon movie out since Thanksgiving.
Since Frozen.
So
it actually gives them something to watch.
So that movie's going to be top three.
The only thing is, and also it is, school is back in session, so it's not like they're on vacation. But yeah, it should be top three.
Right Along, Lone Survivor, Nut Job.
There you go. Pedro's top three for next weekend.
Pedro's trifecta.
He's going for the perfecta trifecta. Let's take a break here. Let's jump into the Crespo Disco. I got a couple of songs here. The first song is from the Inside Llewyn Davis soundtrack. Justin Timberlake is in Llewyn Davis.
What does he play?
He plays the guitar. Yeah, and he sings. Nice. He's a dude who's a folk singer as well. And there's a scene where he writes a song called Please Mr. Kennedy, and it's kind of a weird poppy folk song about the chorus is like, Please Mr. Kennedy. Like, don't send me into outer space, something like that. It's a really ridiculous, stupid fucking song, but it's really funny, so I'm going to play that. And then from the American Hustle soundtrack, I'm going to play an Arabic version of White Rabbit by Mesa Kara. So here you go. Enjoy these two songs. We'll be back with the second half of episode 53 of Cinema Crespo Disco.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
1 second, please.
Please, Mr. Kennedy. I sweat when they stuff me in the pressure suits. Bubble helmet, flash board and boots. Nowhere up there, in gravity zero. I need to breathe, don't need to be a hero. And are you reading me loud and clear? Oh, please, Mr. Kennedy. I'm 6'2", and so perhaps you'll tell me how to fit into a 5-foot capsule. I won't be known as man of the century if I'm blubbering upon re-entry. Got a red-blooded wife with a healthy libido. You'll lose her vote if you make her a widow. And who will play catch out in the back with our kid? Don't please, Mr. Kennedy. Outer space. Oh, please. Oh, please.
أصغر ثم تعلو في الظلمة سريا تعلو من أنا تعبر سأل أليس كيف الحزن طال تمضي تطارد الأرانب لكن النجاح محال نداء خافي وحائر وليل حزن محتال تنادي أليس طريق الظلم شطرنج هناك يهز السؤال للعين قد أكلت الفطرة حتى تنام وتخدع العين سأل أليس هي تعرف العين وحين ستطير إلى
Welcome to the second half of episode 53 of Cinema Crespediso. It is me, Christopher Crespo, hanging out with Drew Cockringer.
What up?
And Pedro Lima. Pedro?
Yes, sir.
All right. We're just hanging out, having a good time. I got a fresh beer here. Another, I'm drinking these wonderful Cigar City High Lies. Oh, so good. So tasty.
Too hoppy for me, man.
Oh, the hoppy deliciousness.
It's too bitter.
70 half. Exactly. You know what's going down. 7.5% alcohol per can. And we got the refills going. Let's get some plugs out of the way. Drew, where can people find you online?
At Antihero419, Twitter and Instagram.
And you can get me on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. Pedro, where can people find you online?
Everything at Rican Gorilla. That's Twitter, Vine, Instagram.
Yeah.
Facebook.
Rican Gorilla.
I think that's what it is.
As in the Puerto Rican.
Either way,
just
track me down on Twitter.
Just look for this guy. Just search Pedro Lima. He'll pop up. Look for the giant Puerto Rican with the microphone in his hand. Where can people find you? I know you just said you did a couple of gigs here in town. Are you have any more local gigs?
I do. I got February 19th. It's my next local gig. I'm at the Orlando Improv.
Nice.
And then I don't come back to town till March.
Where are you going to be in the meantime? What kind of places you got going?
I got to go to Mississippi.
Because we do have a lot of listeners out there in Mississippi.
I got to go to Biloxi, Mississippi.
All right.
That would be, man, I should have been more prepared for this. if you're in Crystal River next week, I'm going to be at a biker bar in Crystal River.
Oh, my God. Have you been there before?
Friday 24th. Yeah, they're pretty cool people.
Okay, cool.
So check out Bonkers Comedy website. You can get the address there. I'm in Mississippi in Biloxi.
Nice.
Bonkers over there. Then I'm in Canton, Georgia.
Nice.
That's February 6th and 8th. February 12th, I'm in Tampa. Mm-hmm. Side Splitters. February 19th, I'm in Orlando Improv.
Word.
And I post my stuff on Twitter, so feel free to track me down there.
Track them down. If you go to any of those shows, go up to them, introduce yourself, say hi, tell me you heard him on Cinema Crespediso.
Yep.
Also, Crespediso, you can follow us on Twitter at Crespediso and Facebook.com/CinemaCrespediso, Instagram.com/CinemaCrespediso. And also ChrisCrespo.com. Go there for reviews. iTunes, please rate us and review us. Stitcher, rate us and review us there. I think you can do that on Stitcher. I'm not too sure how Stitcher works, but I know we're on there, so check us out there. And aircheck.us and wherever else you get your podcasts. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. Let's get into our 2013 best of worst of, guys. Pedro, I guess we'll start with you. We'll do guest first.
Okay.
You guys want to talk about the worst movies of the year or the best ones first? What do you want to start with? Should we start with the best and then with the worst?
Do we want to start with hate? Hate leads to anger?
anger leads to fear.
Let's start with the hatred, and then we'll end up with the love. Right. So we'll end on an up note. So what about worst movies of 2013? What do you got?
Worst movies. Last time I was on the show, I went a big rant about this movie that everybody expected high hopes for it. I can't wait. Hopefully it's the great reboot. Man of Steel.
Man of Steel. You ranted and raved about that.
Oh, what
movie.
A piece of shit movie that was. Frozen. Was another movie.
All right.
That I hated.
Are these in any order? Are we going 5-4 or
no,
is this
no,
in
no,
general?
No, just, it,
just
hate
random
is,
hate.
Just random,
just
hate. Random okay, hate. Random hate. Throwing some shade.
That Magician movie.
Now you see me.
Oh, my God. I saw that on the plane, and I literally wanted to walk out of the plane. It was so bad, but it was the only movie that they were playing on this flight back.
You got to watch it.
And it's like, oh, you're just sitting there. And it... It started kind of good.
I didn't mind. Seriously, unfortunately, I saw worse movies this year.
Yeah.
So this movie didn't make my worst list.
You know, it's like for me, I felt like that movie was a script that was laying around since the 90s. And then finally they dusted it off. Made a
and
couple
we're like,
of updates.
Hey, we got some special effects.
Like the big reveal at the end
wasn't
was,
a big reveal.
Oh,
it
was
just
worst.
So
it was lame.
Hokey shit.
The worst.
A spinning carousel leads to the super magician's quarters.
That was so stupid.
And it was all Mark Ruffalo.
Spoiler.
Spoiler.
Spoiler for a bad movie.
Save you $17 at Walmart. So wait for it on the $3 bin.
$3 bin. Dollar at the Red Box.
The Wolverine movie was another disappointment.
Really?
I liked it a lot better than the first one, personally.
Oh, yeah, but the first one...
It was so bad, though.
Yeah.
Andrew's breaking shit over there. Good job.
Oh, there goes the
breaking
Green Men.
Breaking the army.
Breaking the Green Army, guys. Wolverine. So Wolverine was... But it was disappointing you so much that you're going to be like, fuck that movie?
It's... Like, I get... Okay, Hugh Jackman, listen. I know. Fine, you're Wolverine and
he's cut. Look at his abs.
But
his
enough. Pecs. Enough already.
You're done
enough.
With him as Wolverine?
It just stopped.
You're
going to
be seeing a lot of him as Wolverine.
Wolverine is not a standalone. It's not gonna work as a standalone.
They announced that they're making another one, another standalone Wolverine movie.
Well, I mean, see, it works as a standalone comic. I don't understand why it wouldn't work as a standalone
it's
movie.
It's just one of those weird things that don't...
feel like it has enough beef
you know
to
what,
it.
What I want to see, honestly? Mm-hmm. I would love to see a Deadpool movie.
Everybody wants to see
they've
a Deadpool
movie. They've been
movie.
Wanting to make a Deadpool movie for a while. Ryan Reynolds was trying the hardest. Of all people, he was trying the hardest to get one
made. Seriously, when the first Wolverine movie came out and I heard that Ryan Reynolds was cast as Deadpool, I thought, that's fantastic.
It's great. He's great on it.
I thought it was great.
But then they made him a character where that didn't talk.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
They sealed up his mouth.
Which is the stupidest thing to do. But that's a Hollywood executive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Putting we need this. We need lasers. He needs to be this.
We need to combine all these elements somehow.
It has the thing of Hugh Jackman just played with because this was Hugh Jackman's first attempt of doing the movie.
You're right.
By himself. So
yeah, yeah. With the origins.
That's what the executives do. That's how they break you. They start sending notes.
And well, with this one, with the Wolverine, you got to admit, at least it felt like it had the least interference. Because, I mean, the whole movie was set in Japan, which is to make it so Asian-centric and then to release it in America, you know that's something that the Hollywood executives don't want to do. They don't see dollar signs in doing something like that. But at least for this, in this case, they allow them to do it. The movie's not R-rated, but it is a pretty hard PG-13. It's pretty violent. There's a lot of stabbings, a lot of shootings. He gets to say fuck once. There's the unrated version, which I haven't seen yet, where apparently they insert some more fucks and shits.
Oh.
Where it would technically be an R-rated movie, an R-rated Wolverine. I mean, I at least give them credit for trying to make it a harder film. Because Wolverine can be a hard, tough character.
Oh, yeah.
So I always give him credit for not aiming for teenagers necessarily, you know. But hey, if you're not gonna like it, I'm not gonna be like argue against you for it. I'm not gonna make an argument for the movie.
Yeah.
You know. You got any more? I don't have
I don't have a fifth one. I was trying to think hard on a fifth one.
That's cool. You still got four. I find it every year of myself. I find it tough to come up with even five.
Yeah.
For a worst.
But
of.
Maybe you guys mentioned something. I'll be like, yes, that one.
Let's see, Drew. What are your worst ofs for 2013? Do you have them in any order? Or are they just
no, it's
general?
Just random hate.
All right. Throwing some shade.
A Good Day to Die Hard.
Oh.
The new Die Hard movie that came out.
What a bad
was
movie.
So bad.
I didn't even bother.
Oh, dude.
That's the one with the daughter, right?
No, the son.
No, the son. The daughter was the last one. And the whole not bother with it approach, that was the way to go, Pedro. Good job.
Yeah. Should have. Yeah. Oh, man. I should have not bothered with it, too. It was so bad.
But that's your job now, buddy.
Yeah.
To bother with the shit.
Yeah. It was garbage.
That came out in February. That's the type of movies that come out in January, February. So yep. We're in that time of year right
What's
now.
What's the one with him and the computer with the.
That's the one with the daughter.
With the Mac guy.
Yeah.
That's the daughter.
That's the one because they kidnapped the daughter.
Okay. Yeah. So, but what's the title on that one?
That was
Live Free or Die Hard. Okay.
And once they started naming the titles like that, he knew it was really down the shitter. Yeah. Oh, that's such a. Both. And you know what? I thought Die Hard 4 was a bad fucking movie. I thought that movie sucked. Good Day to Die Hard. Oh my God. All right. What else you got, Drew?
Olympus Has Fallen.
Oh, yeah. Gerard Butler.
As John McClane.
As John McClane. It is pretty much Die Hard in a White House.
Yep.
I heard that wasn't that bad.
You know what? I'll tell you what. Because that came out in White House Down. Two movies.
White House Down was better.
Yeah. I think White House Down's better because it's a more fun, goofy, over-the-top original movie.
Yeah.
Olympus Has Fallen, it's more dour, more serious, you know, and it's just kind of boring. More of a B movie. But a lot of people prefer Olympus Has Fallen, the seriousness of that movie, to the goofiness of White House Down.
Gerard Butler.
People prefer Gerard Butler to Channing Tatum?
The president does not have a chrome rocket launcher in
White
Olympus
House
Has
Down,
Fallen.
The president he's wearing Jordans and has a chrome
rocket launcher.
Rocket launcher.
It is straight, it is all chromed out. It's a 100% chrome rocket launcher.
And the chrome
And it's in the White House limousine.
It's in the presidential limousine, and that shit gets broken out during a car chase that happens entirely on the White House lawn.
Yeah.
It's like a 10-minute car chase that never leaves White House property.
Nope.
It's just circling, and it all ends up in the guest pool. It's ridiculous. That movie's so over the top. It makes Olympus Has Fallen look like the boring piece of shit that
Gerard Butler is going to play the
Point Break.
Point Break. Bodie.
He's going to be the Patrick Swayze character, yeah. So you know that movie's gonna be a hunk of shit.
They really that guy just 300, and then after that, what you got? Nothing.
Nothing.
We're gonna keep trying.
And it's not even like he's bad or anything. I think he's fine.
What was that English movie?
Rock and Roller.
Gangsters. Yeah, Rock and Roller.
He
wasn't bad in that.
But it's also a Guy Ritchie movie, you know. So that makes sense. Gerard Butler though, and then he has
No, it's time.
It's time for some Drusa Cogburn versus the world, buddy. Drusa Cogburn versus the world. Drusa Cogburn versus the world. Drusa Cogburn versus the world. Here we go. I'm sure you guys played last time, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember who won? I didn't check.
Refresh my memory on this game.
I forgot to look. Well, the game is different.
Know.
The game is different.
Game different every week.
Okay.
Game is
always different.
It's always different. All right, Drewster. After the end, at the end of episode 52.
Yes.
After what, 23 games, you finished 11-11-1.
Yes.
So you tied for the year.
Yes.
Big decision here. Are we going to wipe out the slate clean?
Yes.
Started 0-0 for the second year?
Uh-huh.
Pedro, you think that's the best
way
to do it?
Yeah, it's always good. Yep. It's second season.
Second season?
Yep.
All right, so Drew.
Whole new season, whole new record.
So that means after 1 year of Drewster Cogburn versus the world, you are still at zero, buddy.
Yep, pretty much.
You pushed for the year. That's
terrible.
Yes,
I pushed. It was a straight tie all the way across the board. All
right, well, we're starting over, man. Pedro, you are the first game. You are the first representation of the world for 2014.
The world.
You're the world. Yes, you are.
So exciting. Here we go. This week. We're just doing heads-up trivia madness.
All right.
Booyah.
All right. I got 10 questions. Buzz in to answer. As soon as you think you know the answer, say your name.
Okay.
And then you'll give me the answer. Okay, guys? Here we go. Number one. In E.T., who plays Elliot's younger sister?
Drew. Pedro.
Drew.
Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore is correct. Number two. In how many Superman movies did Gene Hackman...
Pedro.
Three is correct. As Lex Luthor. Pedro, tied up. Here we go. Number three. In what movie did real-life brother and sister Jake and Maggie Gyllenhaal play?
Pedro. Donnie Darko.
Donnie Darko's correct. Play real brother and sister on screen. Donnie Darko, good job. Pedro.
Taking this serious.
You
bro.
Are. You yeah. are.
That's what you got to take it seriously. It's for the world.
Not even giving him eye contact.
Yeah, that's where the intimidation comes in. Number four. What is the name of Doc Brown's dog in Back to the Future?
Pedro. Einstein.
Yes. Pedro's running away with it, Drew.
He's killing me.
Number five. How much does the Academy Award statue weigh?
Are we going closest to the pin?
No, we got to get exactly.
Drew. 5 pounds.
Wrong.
Pedro. 7 pounds.
Wrong. 8.5 pounds.
Oh. I think it's heavy.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy.
Shit.
Right? Number six. What was the name of Bill and Ted's band in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
Drew. Wild Stallions.
Wild Stallions is correct. Drew. All right, Pedro's got three. Drew has two. Here we go. Number seven. What animated movie takes its name from a Yiddish word meaning monster? What animated movie takes its name from a Yiddish word meaning monster? Five, four, three, two, one. Shrek, guys.
Shrek?
Shrek. Oh. Listen to how Jewish that sounds. Shrek.
Yeah, you're right.
It's funny. I'm going through every cartoon.
No, exactly.
That doesn't sound Jewy enough.
Exactly. And I went through Shrek in my head. I'm like, that's not Jewy enough.
Like, isn't he a Scottish character?
Yeah.
Oh. All right, guys. Number eight. Here we go. Who played James Bond in Diamonds Are Forever?
Drew.
Sean Connery?
Sean Connery is correct. We are tied. Number nine, in Police Academy, what was the nickname of the tallest cadet?
Drew.
Drew.
Hightower.
Hightower is correct.
But that wasn't his nickname. That was his last name.
No, that was his name. That was his nickname.
That's his nickname. That was his name.
But that was his name. What was his name, though?
That's his last
but
name.
But what other name does he have in the movie?
Lieutenant Hightower.
He's just Hightower.
It's not a nickname.
But it's his name, though. That's the question. That's how I read it online.
I'm fucking protesting this.
I'll follow the protest.
Knew it was I have filed grievances before. Sometimes the Academy can be good.
All right. Protest. Every once in a while. Protest observed. Yeah, things haven't happened before. We'll go on. Number 10. Drew's up by one. Number 10. Here we go. What year was the first Indiana Jones movie released?
Drew? 1981.
That is correct.
Damn it. I was going to go 81.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure if you were going to say 82. I was like, 81?
Yeah, he did kind of ease into that one there. Drew gets 5 right. Pedro 3. So... Drew
he
wins.
Earned it. He earned
good
it.
Good job, Drew. That was the first.
Good job, sir.
Drew Sagar.
Well played,
the
sir.
World. The tiebreaker question. Man of Steel, which Pedro loves so much.
Pedro hates so much.
The number 5 domestic grosser of 2013.
Was it? Wow.
How much did it make in the U.S.?
Let's say like $350 million.
He says 350.
I'm going to say 226.
291.
Ooh.
So I think you were slightly closer, but you went over.
Yeah.
So, but it doesn't matter.
Pedro. It doesn't matter.
That Hightower.
There you go. Hightower. Okay, you know.
Protest.
You know what? Even if I don't count that one, Drew would still win at 4-3.
Yeah, that's fine.
So, yeah. But I protest has been noted. I apologize for that. Do a little more research next time. Grievance has been filed. Thank you. Grievance has been filed. Do noted. Let the minutes reflect the grievance. So we were doing worst of.
Yes.
I forgot what I was saying something, but it doesn't matter. What else were we? Give me another worst of, Drew.
Great Gatsby.
That was disappointing.
Baz Luhrmann's Great Gatsby.
Yeah. I didn't hate it, but it wasn't. I wouldn't defend it anyway.
Yeah, it wasn't good. I did not enjoy it. It bored the hell out of me.
Did it really?
No.
Even all the pretty colors and the dancing and the Jay-Z and the soundtrack.
No musical.
Don't care.
It was pretty musical too. But
it was.
I don't like musicals.
It wasn't
like
as much.
I love musicals.
It
really?
Wasn't as much of a musical as
Rock of Ages. It's so underrated. Yeah. Oh, that movie's so good.
Really?
It's so bad. It's so bad that it does that 360 that is good.
So it's like the Roadhouse type thing.
Yeah.
Because Roadhouse is so wacky
bad,
and bad.
Well,
so
good.
Now, when you're old, you watch it, it's bad. But when you're young and you watch Roadhouse, it's like, this is shit.
It's over the top. There's a bar fight within
Dalton.
The first 2 minutes of the movie.
I used to fuck guys like you in prison. What?
What else you got, Drew?
After Earth?
After Earth.
The nepotism movie.
Yeah. Will Smith with his son, Jaden.
It was bad. I did not enjoy it at all.
M. Night Shyamalan's After Earth, too. Yeah.
Okay. M. Night Shyamalan's movie?
Yeah. He directed it.
Will Smith brought him in as director. Because it's the whole movie was Will Smith's baby. He came up with the story and everything. But then he's like, I need a director. I'll bring in Shyamalan.
Come on, Shyamalan.
He should have done better. I mean, actually, I think the movie is directed competently. It's not like I can't tell what's going on or it looks like shit.
It's just they're force-feeding people.
Yeah, it felt like I was being force-fed Jaden Smith.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And I really didn't care for that.
That and you were being preachable Scientology type stuff, too. Yeah. Subliminally.
Karate. There's the stupid Karate Kid movie I didn't like.
Which should be called the Kung Fu Kid.
And then he's doing another remake that he's going to be in.
You're right, I forgot.
But it's a popular movie, and it's just, Jaden Smith is going to be the...
Of course. Will Smith's got all that power, man.
Yeah. Is it Annie with the other Smith?
She dropped out of that.
She did?
She decided that she told her parents, like, after she did the Whip My Hair song, and she was on TV, and...
She didn't want to do it.
She was like, I kind of just want to be a kid.
Good.
And the parents were like, you know what?
Good for her.
That's fine.
Good.
We're glad that you recognized that. And they pulled her out of the spotlight. And the Annie... Will Smith was like, well, we got you Annie, we got this, we got that. She's like, I don't want to do it. All right.
Good.
So, you know, good for them that, you know, Jaden is being pushed down our throats because he wants to be.
Yeah.
He wants to be out there. And the other kid doesn't want
to be. But
that's
the thing.
So.
It's like, earn it.
Yeah.
You
exactly.
know what I mean? Don't go because, oh, it's Will Smith. Look, these two people fucked. And here, this
and
is
here's
the
their untalented child.
Yeah, right. I mean, he can learn to be talented. But right now, he's not that good. You got any more? What else is that?
Lone Ranger.
Is that your fourth one?
I don't know. Yeah, fifth, I think.
Your fifth.
And I've got one more.
You
after
got one
that.
More. Yeah, Lone Ranger was a
god awful piece of shit.
That was a hunk.
Yeah, I did not enjoy it.
You sit through that one, Pedro?
No.
It was a really expensive, pretty piece of shit.
$200 million to make that movie.
Yeah,
and it looks like it too.
Yeah.
No interest. Yeah. It's one of those movies that's like no interest. And I like Johnny Depp.
I like Johnny Depp too. But
it's like...
Not movie.
Between that and Pirates 4, it's like, come on.
Yeah. I stopped at 2.
Good. Good for you.
What's the one with Calypso? 3?
Which one's Calypso?
3.
I think the black lady, the voodoo lady.
I think that's 3.
3. No. Yeah, I stopped at that one. Yeah. It was bad. The ending of 3 was bad to me.
Well, yeah. Well,
and I was like...
All of them other than
the first one
pretty stinky. No. No, the second one was okay.
The second one, I like the ending of the second one when Barbosa comes down the stairs.
Yeah.
And
the
I was
big
like, oh,
Barbosa.
Shit! And I got so excited.
But that's because it connects you to the first movie, though. It's like, oh, Barbosa's back because he's such a badass.
Yeah.
You know? The Lone Ranger is like... That Lone Ranger needed some Barbosa.
Yeah, it did.
You got another one you said?
R.I.P.D.
R.I.P.D. That forgettable...
Ryan Reynolds.
Jeff Bridges.
Cartoonish. For as cartoony as it was really bad.
It was boring.
Yeah.
The worst cinema movie you could commit, just being fucking boring.
Yeah.
And that's R.I.P.D. Our top five is kind of similar. For our bottom five, I should say. I said Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
Hated that movie. And the thing is, too... It was also versus expectations because I liked the director, Gore Verbinski. I liked, like we said, the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie. I liked Rango, which is
amazing.
Animated Western, the same director.
I was about to say, you mean Django?
No. Rango.
Yeah. Rango and Django. Both of them are awesome.
Johnny Depp plays Hunter S. Thompson as a lizard.
As a lizard, as a gecko. I liked Rango Unchained. That was fun. Did you guys see that one?
Django? I love
Django.
No,
not Django. No, Rango.
No.
Rango's good.
You really should see it. It's really...
Especially
he plays
it's
Hunter S. Thompson. Like, in the beginning of the movie... Rango is, he's like a house lizard, he's in the back of somebody's car and they're moving, and a car swerves and knocks them off the road, and it's the Cadillac with Hunter S. Thompson and Dr. Gonzo in it on their way to Vegas.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
The whole movie's like that, too. It's got these little things from
allusions to other movies and stuff.
It's, yeah. Oh, it's fantastic.
Okay, so then I'm in it. Is it on Netflix?
It used to be. I'll check.
It did used to be. I don't know. I hope
if
it still
is, because I'll watch it.
Yeah,
then you can
watch it
with the kids. Because
the kids will love it on one level, and you'll love it on completely different ones.
Yes. Yeah,
and I'll get fucked up to the level that I can enjoy.
There you go,
at
exactly.
The level that I should be enjoying.
And so I'm thinking based on that, and it's a Western, Lone Ranger is kind of a Western. It's the same director. This movie should be great. I was expecting a very good movie, and the fact that it's so boring and weird, and it just doesn't know what it's doing, and the tone is so off. Ah, fuck. Fuck the
it was
Ranger.
Bad.
Are you looking it up?
I'm checking it out. I got to sign in first.
I also said RIPD because it is a boring, awful piece of shit. A Good Day to Die Hard also made my list because, again, just the worst. As John McClane, he must say, I'm on vacation, like five times.
But that's the reason. Yeah.
That's his go-to line, like comedy line of that movie. Oh, my God, what a hunk of garbage. This movie disappointed the fuck out of me, The Counselor.
You know, that almost made my worst of list, but I gave it, I don't know.
Is that with Cameron Diaz?
Yes.
For some reason,
and
I let it slide.
Bardem,
for some reason,
Michael
I give everybody a pass on that one.
I
gave Cormac McCarthy and Ridley Scott and Michael Fassbender and Penelope Cruz.
Yeah.
I gave them all a pass.
I mean,
on
it's a Ridley Scott movie. It's one of my favorite writers, Cormac McCarthy, who wrote No Country for Old Men. You know, we talked about that earlier. Great actors, Fassbender, Pitt. Bardem, Cameron Diaz, Penelope Cruz, and they're all good.
Was the writing? Is that what killed it?
It's the story. It's a screenplay. It's not a strong screenplay. The movie has no strong plot. The characterization, it's all two-dimensional characters.
Rango is no longer on Netflix.
Rango's no longer on Netflix. Damn. It'll be back one day. Keep an eye for Rango. But The Counselor, I just have to put on my worst of list because it disappointed me so much. I wanted it to be so good. It had so much potential to
be
good.
Oh, God, it could have been amazing.
And it's so fucking bad.
Yeah, you're right.
And the other movie that rounds out my top five of bottom five. I keep doing that. My bottom five of 2013. The movie itself isn't even a poorly made movie, but it pissed me off so much. The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Really?
The Ben Stiller movie that just came out.
It was bad?
No.
It was good. Are we doing good?
It's okay. It's okay.
Wait, you put
here's
it, are
the thing.
We doing a limbo list?
No, this is no. I'm going to tell you why it makes my worst of 2013 list. Because it's so fucking disingenuous. And the movie, at the heart of its movie, if this movie was a person, it would be a piece of shit with a black fucking heart. Because the movie is trying to sell you, it's a life-affirming message about how you got to go out there and live life. Meet people, experience, do things, you know, blah, blah, blah. Then on the other hand, the movie is literally trying to sell you Papa John's, McDonald's, KFC, iPhones. The product placement in this movie is out of control.
Movies are expensive.
They are expensive, but there's one way to work in the product placement. Like in Skyfall, people made a big deal about how Heineken bought some product placement for Skyfall and that James Bond was going to be drinking a Heineken in the movie. And people are like up in arms. This is ridiculous. You can't have them doing this. Blah blah blah. Whatever. When the movie actually comes out, there's a scene where
he sees the Red Star.
Not even James Bond. He's laying in bed post coital with some random lady because he's James fucking Bond. Mm-hmm. And on the bedside next to him, on the table, there's a green can. And then he picks it up and he takes a sip and he puts it down. You can't even see that it says Heineken or anything. You just know that it's a green can. Right. It's a fucking Heineken. But that's all it was, right? So he drinks the drink. That's product placement. I'm fine with that. You know, that actually adds a level of real-world authenticity that I can get behind. In this fucking movie, in Secret Life of Walter Mitty, the product placement became part of the story. Part of his characterization was about how he used to work at a Papa John's. And, like, he was a skateboarding kid, but then his father died, so he had to go get a job at Papa John's to feed his
to
family.
To buy some Nikes.
To buy some shit. People
and
are always holding iPhones.
I had to fly
iPhones.
To the funeral, so I went through Orbit.
I took
to get the best flight.
On Virgin Airlines. Dude, every step of the way, whenever they could work something in, at one point he meets a character just to meet up for
eHarmony.
And the whole movie also, eHarmony is part of the plot. It's literally part of the plot. They could have made up a fake website.
Is this the movie Palm Presents? The greatest.
No, that's
movie.
A documentary. That's a great
that's
documentary.
A good one.
It might as well be because there's so much shit all over the place. The Palm Presents, the greatest movie ever sold. That's actually a really good documentary. Papa John's is part of the plot. They make Cinnabon jokes and McDonald's jokes. So the movie wants to sell you on go live life, go climb volcanoes,
Ian
and
McDonald's.
Find cat leopards. But then...
But get a quarter pounder
yes,
while you're at it.
Yes, go fuck yourself, Walter Mitty. What bullshit. Oh, it's just disingenuous. I hate it so much. So, worst of 2013. Done. Let's talk about the best of 2013. Pedro, how many do you have?
I have four.
Okay.
As well. I'm going to just keep it at four because there's a couple. I wasn't able to see some movies that I really wanted to see.
Fair enough.
Blue Jasmine, I really enjoyed.
Okay.
I really, really enjoyed that movie. This Is the End. I haven't laughed that hard
in a very long time.
That movie was great. Pacific Rim.
Yes.
Made me love movies again.
Right? It's definitely, it's one of the few times where I felt like I paid for my ticket, I saw the movie, and I was like, I got more than my money.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I owe more money.
I was in a different world, and I was fine with it.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Fantastic.
Evil Dead, I saw it at my house.
Okay.
The remake.
Yeah.
A lot of people were panning it, and I really enjoyed it.
I got good reviews, I thought, from like horror circles. People that like the Evil Dead movies and horror, they all like it.
And I'm pretty sure there's some other movies that you guys are going to mention. I'm like, that one was awesome.
But those are your four.
Those
right
are
now,
my four right now that I can think of.
All right, Drew, you got, what do you got? You got a top 10?
I got my
10?
Top 10.
All right, let's give us your top 10 from the bottom up.
All right. Number 10,
uh-huh.
Place Beyond the Pines.
Nice. Love that movie. Did you see that one with Ryan Gosling?
Ryan Gosling.
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper.
Oh, that's the one with the car?
No, that's Drive.
No.
Place Beyond the Pines where Ryan Gosling, he's riding a bike. And he's Robin Banks.
That's what it is. Yeah. Okay, yeah. He's the bike guy.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to see that?
No.
It's an epic character.
Place
film.
Behind.
Beyond
Place the Beyond the Pines.
Place Beyond the Pines. That's definitely on the red. Actually, you know what? Starting this weekend, they just started playing that on HBO.
Yeah.
So you can see it on HBO, probably on HBO On Demand.
I'll get on
Demand. It's a little long.
It is.
But it's an epic story.
And it's character driven. Same family. It's over two generations.
It's an ambitious movie. Ambitious. Really good stuff.
Number 9, I have This Is the End.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Just because it made me laugh so hard, and watching Channing Tatum as Danny McBride's Gimp was the most amazing thing I think I've seen this year.
It was great.
Yeah,
he
took off his mask,
ass.
And I was just like, "Oh my god!" And then he got down on all fours and presented himself.
And then and Michael Cera was fantastic.
Yeah.
It's
sippy
man,
time, ladies. Yeah. Sippy time.
I don't even do that drug, Michael. I don't even do that drug.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Nice.
So, that's number 9.
All right.
Number 8, American Hustle.
Nice, okay. Yeah, great movie.
Yep.
Love that movie.
Number 7, another Christian Bale film, Out of the Furnace.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. That's good? Is that
the so good.
It was a good?
Willem Dafoe's in it.
Casey
Woody Harrelson.
Affleck.
Casey Affleck.
Very, very strong movie.
Yes, all the way around.
And the guy that directed it—that's only his second movie, too.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, really well done.
I enjoyed it.
Nice,
very much.
All right.
Number 6, 12 Years a Slave.
Nice. All right. Heavy.
Yeah, very heavy.
Heavy movie.
That's one of the movies I want to see.
It's good.
It's really
heavy though.
One of the ones you think would like if you saw it would make your top 5 possibly.
But I just want to see that guy. I really, here's the thing. I only want to go see that movie with my black friends. So that way I can get the whole experience.
So what is it? Like watching it in like blackoscope?
Like, yeah. It's like 3D. It's like they're like my 3D glasses. Because I want to see the movie and I just need to feel the
outrage.
The awkwardness in the air kind of thing.
Man.
And see their faces being like, kind of like, man, this is
fucked up.
Like, this is the scene that's getting to them. Like, oh, this is the one.
Yeah.
I'm just
going to be a popcorn. Just look at them.
You're watching them instead of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, why are you watching your friends?
I had to watch it twice.
It's a good movie, 12 Years a Slave.
Really good.
All right, what's your top 5?
Number 5, Gravity.
All right, Gravity. Yep, love it. Yeah, obviously, you don't want to talk about Alfonso Cuarón. Fantastic director.
Yeah.
Yep.
Number 4, Upstream Color.
That's a crazy one.
Only because of the complexity and the fact that like I had to watch it like 3 times
to understand it
and talk about it with you for like a month and a half before I even began to understand the movie.
Yeah. This movie is crazy, Pedro.
It was a lot of
What's
fun.
What's it called?
Upstream Color.
Upstream Color.
That's definitely
You're not going to understand it the first time you watch it.
Yeah, the first time you watch it, it's almost like a David Lynchian fever dream nightmare.
And
I'm scratching it.
it's crazy.
Yeah,
dude.
It is, man.
I didn't even so much write a review as I wrote an essay on the movie. The first part of the essay is like breaking down what I think happens in the movie plot wise, and then the second part of the review or essay is about what it all I think it all means. And that came out to like it's like a 5,000-6,000 word monster essay that. If you want to read it, it's chriscrespo.com. Easy.
chriscrespo.com.
There's a little search bar. Search upstream color. It'll pop up, and you can spend an hour reading it and trying to figure out the movie with me. Yeah. But so that's your number
four.
Four. Okay. All right.
Number three, Wolf of Wall Street.
Ah, The Wolf.
Okay. Yes.
Love that movie.
So good. Right. Number two, Pacific Rim.
Oh, wow. All the way up there.
Only because, like Pedro said, it reinvigorated me for movies.
Yeah.
It was, like, that was a movie if I was, like, a nine-year-old kid. Like, I would have gone crazy for that movie.
Right.
I would have bought all the t-shirts and the toys and just been like, Pacific Rim.
I tried watching that movie again on the flight.
Oh, on the little screen on the seat in front of you?
They didn't do it for me.
You can't see what's going on, man. Exactly. The giant monsters are 2 inches tall.
But it's one of those things. Movie. You have to see that movie theater. I don't even think I'll enjoy it watching it at home.
I mean, we saw it on the big screen.
It was good enough.
I mean, it was cool, but yeah, it's not
but
like
it's
watching
one
it
of those
a
movies
theater.
That you have to watch it in the theater.
Yeah, and if you missed out on it, man, it sucks for you people. Right? You missed out. That was your so Pacific Rim's your number two. Woo! So I think I know what your number one is. Your number one?
Number one movie, Her.
Her.
Just saw it. Just saw it yesterday, and it's the best movie I saw all year.
Damn.
By really?
Far. Yeah.
That's a 2014 movie.
Well, no. Technically, it's a holdover because it came out in like L.A. and New York in the middle of December, so it could qualify for the Oscars.
Okay.
And then that happens every year. And then these movies finally get the wide release in January because there's less competition. And movies like Her... the producers aren't expecting to make a lot of money, so they're not going to dump it in a ton of theaters in December to try to get a lot of people to go see
they're
it.
They're just waiting for the nominations.
Yeah,
and
waiting
then
for
push
nominations,
it.
Exactly. Then try to get more money that way.
Exactly.
Yeah, so her's your number one.
Dude, it hit me on all notches.
Nice.
It was just, it was more of an experience than watching a movie.
Wow.
All right, very good. So that's your top 10. Very good. All right, well, that leaves me. Here's my top 10. A little bit of crossover here.
Okay.
Number 10, I also said Place Beyond the Pines.
Nice.
But also just made the bottom of my list. Actually, you know what? You know what I can do too? Because I was trying to figure out this list. My list of movies was so long. Movies that didn't make my top 10, but were in consideration.
Oh, I have another 10 movies for that.
Wait, run through them real quick. Throw them out there.
John Dies at the End.
Uh-huh.
Side Effects.
Uh-huh.
Spring Breakers.
Uh-huh.
Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
The Spectacular Now.
Ah.
Prisoners,
uh-huh.
Don John,
uh-huh.
Only God Forgives,
uh-huh.
Oblivion, mm-hmm. Trance, mm-hmm. All Is Lost.
So those are all the movies you liked.
Yeah.
And you're like, I got to figure out my top 10 out of those.
Yeah. All right. Well, those were basically all the movies that were like, you know what? This is good enough to consider into my top 10.
All right, well, here are my considerations that didn't make it. Out of the Furnace, which was right in your top 10.
Yeah, that was number 7.
Captain Phillips, which comes out on DVD, we found out next week, this week. Rush. Did you see that one?
The
Rush
movie? No, but I heard it's good.
Rush is good.
I was good.
Rush is really good. The documentary, The Act of Killing. You like documentaries, Pedro. Keep an eye out for that one.
Yeah.
That's an intense fucking movie, man. And it's about these dudes in Jakarta in Indonesia that there was a cultural cleansing in the 60s where they went around killing the poor and the farmers and called it, you know, they called them all communists and shit. And evil people, but they won and they're still in power 20, 30 years later. So someone made a documentary about them and they talk about all this evil shit they did, but they're all proud about it and they go on parades and everything because they're in power in the country, you know?
Wow.
But then when they make the movie, the lead guy that they're making it with, like, because as he's making the movie, he gets to see the horrible shit he did through other people's eyes.
He starts realizing what a piece of shit he is.
Yes.
Wow.
He starts realizing why he had horrible dreams for decades and decades.
The Act of Killing.
That one is definitely worth checking out. The Spectacular Now, you said. The World's End, the Edgar Wright movie. Lee Daniels, The Butler, I thought about that.
That was a good one.
Elysium, I really liked. Fruitvale Station.
Didn't see it.
That comes out on DVD this week as well. I saw on the list. That's a really good movie. Man of Steel, I considered it, but it didn't really come close. Yeah. I mean, Pedro hated it.
Well, dude, that was actually the first one that I crossed off on my list.
I mean, it was like,
I went down and I'm like, nah, not...
It was one of my favorite movies of the summer, but for the year, Iron Man 3, also another one where it's one of my favorites of the summer, but I didn't make it. Stoker, is on HBO now. It's a weird little gothic drama by a South Korean director, the guy that did Old Boy. It's his first English language movie. Pretty good. And Side Effects, like you said, with Rooney Mara, so hot.
Yeah.
Catherine Zeta-Jones. All right, so top five. Here we go. Top 10. Place Beyond the Pines.
Number 10.
Number 9. Mud.
Didn't see it.
That Matthew McConaughey movie. That he is great in that. My number 8 was Pacific Rim. Because, like we've already discussed numerous times, yeah. It's the movie that makes you love movies again. Number 7, American Hustle.
That was my number 8.
I loved it. Number 6, 12 Years a Slave. Just exemplary filmmaking all around.
I had that at number 6 as well.
Very, very powerful film. Number 5, Inside Llewyn Davis. Because I love the Coens, and it really is a well-made movie. The music is fantastic. The acting is great. And then it's like them and Spike Jonze. They do that sadness but comedy at the same time thing. It's just so well. My number 4 is Upstream Color, the crazy one that we were just talking about, right? Number 3 for me was Gravity.
Okay.
Because I fucking love that goddamn movie, man. Yeah. It's so good. It's pretty. Technical achievement. It's a tight, simple story that I think Matt Cabin Boy from SBK Live, he was arguing, saying that... while he really liked Gravity and he thinks it's a good movie, that the story is so simple that it won't hold up.
I think that's in future viewings. I don't think that's the case.
I think it's going to be
the opposite. Yeah.
I think it's going to be the other way around.
When it's that simple,
it holds up
for longer.
Yeah, because it's going to...
It's more universal.
More universal. It does things in the way, cultural things, time. It's just a simple story about survival in space. So fucking terrifying.
Yeah, it is.
And then this was really hard for me, figuring out my number 1 and my number 2. But I think I have it figured out, so I'm going to run with it here. My number 2 is going to be Wolf of Wall Street.
Okay.
Because Scorsese is just the man.
It's good.
It's a great movie. Over the top.
It was my number three.
I want to see it. I'm going to see that now before American Hustle.
There's more drug use in The Wolf of Wall Street than there was in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Wow.
Well,
and also, they dropped more F-bombs. Than any other
U.S. movie ever. Yes, 500-something F-bombs. It came out to 2.8 fucks a second in Wolf of Wall Street.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. And my number 1, like Drew, we agree on this one. Her.
Oh, nice.
Her fucking... It
got you?
It blew me away,
it
man.
Did.
It's,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah, dude.
Dude, it was...
That
it's,
movie fucking did a work on your
dude,
ass.
Dude, it really it, did. It did, worked man. Me, man.
Because it's just... You know what?
I'm not sure if I'm the same person after watching that movie, actually.
It makes you think. Makes you think about life differently, yourself differently, your relationships, the way you interact with people and emotions. It's a type of movie where halfway through the movie as I'm watching it, I started becoming insanely jealous that this man, Spike Jonze, exists and he's able to express himself artistically in such a way and that he can connect with so many emotions and put them together in such a way.
I'm
going
to have to go see that movie with my wife then.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, yeah.
You'll appreciate it together. It's just the way I just wish I was Spike Jonze because it's so good. It's so good.
It is.
So, yeah, there you go. It's our 2013 year in review. Best of, worst of. That was some good shit, guys. That's some good stuff. All right, I got a couple of movie stories here. Let's see. There's one, at least one that I definitely wanted to talk about. Did you guys hear about all the Shia LaBeouf stuff?
Yeah, he's a douchebag.
He's a total douchebag.
Like,
you
can't fucking be a thief. You cannot be a thief and then...
Claim artistic integrity and
not only that,
sharing.
And then throw an apology, and then people find out that apology is also insincere.
Yeah.
If you're going to be insincere about it, then just be completely insincere about it.
Instead of,
the thing that bothers me the most is that this asshole goes and says, oh, I'm going to be out of the public life for a while or whatever. I'm going to retire. And then he puts a hashtag, stop creating.
Yeah.
Motherfucker, you haven't created anything.
You're stealing shit.
You're stealing stuff, so stop being like you're a martyr for trying to create. But the guy is a fucking lunatic.
Apparently he's a crazy piece of shit. I had no idea.
It's that Disney crazy.
Maybe
dude.
It is, right? Same thing happened to Britney Spears around the same age.
Britney.
Drew, what happened was Shia LaBeouf did a short film. And then it turns out that his short film is just a complete 100% ripoff of a comic strip by Daniel Clowes, who did Ghost World.
Okay.
All right. And so that comes out like, oh, this guy is a plagiarizer. So Shia LaBeouf tweeted out an apology, apologizing for everything. Someone did a Google search of his apology, and he plagiarized his apology.
Nice.
From like Yahoo Answers and from other people that have made famous apologies. And then it, from then on, it's been a month of weirdness, dude.
He did a skywriting apology. He tweeted apologies from other people apologizing.
Yeah.
He just decided, oh, I'm gonna run with this. If you're not sincere with your apology, then don't apologize.
And then people start digging through his shit, and they're finding other instances of things that he's plagiarized. So he's actually a serial plagiarist.
He's nice. Being destroyed. He's getting destroyed. He's gotten destroyed. Have you seen that movie, Celebrity, that documentary?
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
It's a great documentary of how Hollywood likes to build up.
And then destroy.
And destroy.
Makes sense.
Well, yeah.
And then in hopes that he comes back.
Yeah, but
so you can destroy him again.
You can destroy him. It's a vicious circle. And it's the same thing they did with Britney Spears.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. She made it up. They loved the destruction.
And then they brought her back.
And now she got the show in Vegas. They're starting the destruction.
And like you said, LaBeouf tweeted that he's retiring. He's stepping out of public life. He's done. So we'll see how long that lasts.
About a week.
About a week or so until he needs some money. He's a crazy douche. All right, this is one thing I definitely wanted to talk about, especially since I mentioned it earlier. Fact-checking Meryl Streep's rent against Walt Disney.
Okay. All right.
So, what was the award ceremony? It was at the National Board of Review dinner. All right, so it's one of these things where a bunch of celebrities get together, they give out awards, people talk, blah, 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 blah. Meryl Streep was giving out an award for Best Actress, and it went to Emma Thompson for Saving Mr. Banks, the Walt Disney movie. That's why this came up. And then Meryl Streep went on a 10-minute tirade accusing Walt Disney of anti-Semitism.
Of facts.
Of bigotry.
Facts.
Of all these things that you say are facts.
They're facts!
Let's fact check some of these facts.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Meryl Streep said some of Walt Disney's associates reported that Walt Disney really didn't like women. That there was a memo where he said he didn't trust women or cats. I don't know where that came from. So the fact is, as the family-approved biographer of the person who said this quote about... The quote is, some of Disney's associates reported that Walt Disney really didn't like women. As the family-approved biographer of this person points out that the words were taken out of context. He's read thousands of pages of writings, and Walt Disney never exclaimed any sort of suspicion of women. He never was bigoted against women, and the only thing he was doing was what everyone else was doing at that time, that women worked in certain parts of the animation division, like they were the tracers and the inkers, and the creative people were all young men. And people were like, oh, that was him bigoted against women. When really,
that was the sign of the times.
It was the 1930s. They were all acting like that. Gender bigotry. Is what it was called. Meryl Streep said at one point Disney was perhaps or had some racist proclivities. Streep provides no specific accusations here. No respected Disney historian has ever uncovered evidence that Walt Disney was racist. There's no evidence out there.
Have you seen The Crows in Dumbo?
Have you seen Song of the South?
That's the artwork. We're talking about his actual behind the scenes racism. He was dropping N-words left and right.
Yeah, or no. LBJ.
Or he didn't hire people of color for certain positions. No actual racism. Not because of shit that was accepted in the time. I mean, that kind of Amos and Andy shit, that was entertainment in the 30s. Mm-hmm. He was rolling. Well, I bet you in 80 years from now, 90 years from now, people are going to look back at some of the entertainment we have on television and be like, those people were fucked up. They're going to look back at Duck Dynasty and be like, what were they putting on television? Why are they listening to these people? I mean, it's all about cultural times. You can't hold Walt Disney from the 30s and 40s to the standards of 2014. If you do that with him, you have to do that with everybody. And then where are our heroes? There are no heroes.
Nope.
I think that's a hardcore album. No more heroes. Meryl Streep said he informed and supported an anti-Semitic industry lobbying group.
But that's been going... That rumor has been going on for the longest time.
Yes, and that's also incorrect.
Is it?
It's absolutely incorrect.
Because that one person said so.
Streep is referring to Walt Disney's involvement in the formation of the Motion Picture Alliance for Preservation of American Ideals. It was not a fringe organization, nor was its purpose anti-Semitism. It was a mainstream organization reacted by the movie industry's conservative elite. It was basically a bunch of people getting together to try to crush unions. They hated unions. They hated minimum wage. They hated all that shit. That's what Disney was against. You can be against Disney for...
He hates minimum wage?
He hated unions because there was a huge strike against Disney in the late 30s, and that made him hardcore conservative.
Man, they should do a documentary and interview everybody who works at Disney and just ask
They would
them.
Love unions right now.
Oh, now, yeah. Well, yeah. Disney lost that fight, obviously. I mean, the unions won. The strike was successful. But after that, he formed this group with other people, which included people like Gary Cooper, John Ford, Cecil B. DeMille, you know, I mean, a bunch of nobodies. And they were just trying to, like, they were more pro-business. That was his thing, not anti-Semitism. But, you know, it's fun to say that Disney, who does all these wholesome things like Mickey Mouse and cartoons and Sleeping Beauty, it's fun to say that, oh, he also has this evil, bent Nazi sadistic streak.
No blacks
too.
On sex.
And, you know, but I think that's all really a product of our cynical age. It's easy to be cynical about stuff like that, you know? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Disney was a cool guy.
I don't know about that.
Well, I never met him.
That's what I'm saying.
But did you meet him?
The Jews met him. Didn't like him.
Did they, though?
Even though, man, I'm pretty sure they did.
I got the... let's see. We got our question from Billy D.
I gotta bounce, Senior Chris.
All right. You're gonna tip the bat here?
So you guys take the questions, because otherwise I'm going to end up getting divorced by the end of this episode.
All right. Well, Pedro.
But thank you, sir.
Grab one of those bags on your way out the door.
Oh!
Grab a swag bag. All right, cool. If you go home with gifts... It makes it a better entrance.
Wait, no, it's better. I like doing this part. Hold on.
Okay, well, then grab the bag and give it to Drew, and Drew will tell you what's in it.
All right, Drew. Tell me what I got on this second trip.
You've got Dino World miniatures. They're realistic and hand-painted.
Look at that. Oh,
hand-painted dinosaurs, bro.
This is awesome.
You've got 5-in-1 Bubble Fun Miracle Bubbles, 4 Fun Bubble Wand Shapes.
Come on. You know who's going to like that.
Dude, my kid's not touching this.
Valentine's pencils. It's an 8-count.
It's just for the occasion.
Yeah. Valentine's Day. Perfect.
Copy of the movie Melancholia.
Oh, you're going to love that movie, Pedro.
Is it good?
Well, it's very arty.
Okay. And a Cinema Chris Bodiso sticker.
And there you go. Sticker, buddy.
Thank you, my friend.
You're very welcome.
I don't get no baby lack swine.
No, not this time around. No,
Baby Lack.
Baby Lack will be in next week. Maybe he'll bring some more Baby Lack swag with him.
Yo, yeah, he has to put like a little underground like CD or something like that.
He does CDs too.
He puts out mixtapes.
He's on like volume 50 right now or something too. He's great. He should be putting them out every couple weeks.
He should be on the swag.
We should have him bring in a couple CDs.
I'll ask him.
And we'll hand him out in our swag bags.
I'll ask him to bring some CDs.
Guys, thank you very much.
You're very welcome,
man. Thank you so much for coming up, bro.
Thank you.
Good match,
yes.
My friend. Follow me on Twitter, Rican Gorilla. For real, if you want to come to the shows that I have on town, especially Orlando Improv, hit me up on Twitter. I'll definitely get you passes for free. Just make sure you tell me you heard me on Cinema Crespo.
There you go. Free
and we're set. And that's it, bitches.
Pedro, thank you so much. We appreciate it, man.
Adios.
Don't get divorced.
All right, Drew. So let's finish this up, you and me, buddy. You ready?
All right.
We got, because I did the whole best of, worst of. Oh, you know what? Oh, shit. That reminded me.
What reminds you, Chris?
I didn't get questions from people on Twitter this week because I was asking them what was their favorite movies of 2013.
Oh, so what are the listeners like this year?
We got the People's Choice Awards.
All
Chris
right.
Mediso.
What do we got?
Very complicated system I came up with to figure out what would be after I got everyone's top threes or top
with
fives.
With algorithms
and adding
divisions.
And writing stuff down. Tied for number 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7 movies tied for number 5.
Okay.
Iron Man 3.
Okay.
Her.
Ooh.
The Fifth Estate. The Conjuring. Computer Chess. It's a little, very tiny little movie that's on Netflix right now. Prisoners.
Yeah.
And Despicable Me 2.
All right.
All tied for number 5. Got 2 movies tied for number 4. Gravity. And too bad Pedro left. Man of Steel.
Oh.
The people like the Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Number 3. Star Trek Into Darkness.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
The people liked it.
Yeah.
Number 2. Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, I can see that. That was everybody's number two.
That is everyone's number two.
It was my number three, only because Pacific Rim was so awesome.
There you go. Well, like you said that. Number one was
Pacific Rim.
Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
By quite a bit, too, I got to say.
It was my number two.
With this little system I came up with, it kind of ran away with it.
That's awesome. Go Pacific Rim. The movie was so good.
There you go. 2013.
Everybody was so skeptical about it, too. Like, it took, like, I had to literally convince people to see this movie.
That and Gravity.
Like, I had to grab them by their ears, stare them dead in the eyes, and be like, listen, go watch this movie right now.
Yeah, but that and Gravity, people were like, I don't know. It's like, just go see it.
Seriously, it's worth it. Have fun.
Have your mind blown already. All right, so I do have our question, though, from Billy D.
Okay, what is it?
Billy D writes, good morning, dudes.
Good morning, Billy.
You wrote this today at 7:40 in the morning. With the book officially closed in 2013, what is or are the movies that you missed in the theater that you call up on later and thought, damn, I should have seen that in the theater? Peace out, homies. Billy D. Sent from Microwave. Excuse typos and or burnt popcorn smell. So, movies that you would have seen that you didn't see in the theater, ended up seeing on DVD. Like, damn. Like, all the people that skipped out on Pacific Rim and saw it on DVD.
You know, they were sucks all for
like,
them.
They were all like, damn.
Sucks for them.
Can you think of anything?
Oh, man. I mean, I wish I'd seen Inside Llewyn Davis in theaters. I wish I'd seen it, period.
Well, you still have a chance to. I mean, that just came
Mud.
Out.
Mud. I wanted to see Mud. Never got around to seeing that.
You know what? That's one. Yeah, I would have liked to have seen that in a theater. Yeah, because I ended up seeing that on DVD.
Man. I don't even know what else. John Does at the end would have been fun to see in theaters.
That was fun to see. I saw that at the Florida Film Festival.
Yeah. That would have been fun. I wish I never would have seen A Good Day to Die Hard.
No, reverse. That's the opposite.
Yep.
Can't take that one away.
I wish
that's experience you'll take with you to your grave.
Really wish I could have. Man. I mean, not that. Oh, I really wanted to see both Top Gun and Jurassic Park.
Oh, when they the 3D re-releases?
Those,
yeah.
I really wanted to see those, but I never got around to it.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
All right. Yeah, that's really all I can think of right now. All right,
well, that's fine. I think Mud. Mud is the one that I can think of that you mentioned.
Maybe The Iceman? That would have been fun.
Well, I actually haven't seen it, so.
I still haven't seen it either, but it's going to be on DVD no matter what, or on the Netflix.
It's on the Netflix right now.
Exactly.
Well, Pedro had to run out of here, unfortunately.
Yes, he did.
We got our, I got my lightning round for him.
Do you want it? Do you want the lightning round, Chris? We can do some reverse lightning?
Nah, because I know the questions and everything. And I'm looking at them right now, so. We'll go ahead and we'll have you do Pedro's lightning round.
All right, lightning round. Get inside the mind of Drewster Cogburn.
All right, Drew, why don't you start the clock?
And go.
What sports team do you love to see lose?
The Yankees.
Number two, what is something you've always wanted to try?
Skydiving.
Number three, when was the last time you faked being sick?
Ooh, probably about like a year and a half ago.
Right,
to get out of work, probably.
Oh, okay, there you go. Number four, which city dug the first subway?
Ooh, the obvious answer would be New York.
That's incorrect, it's London. Number five, what song do you sing in the shower?
I don't.
Number six, what junk food is your weakness?
Easiest, chocolate.
Number seven, what year was the iPod first introduced?
93.
2001. 93? Number eight, Shark Island was an infamous Civil War era prison in what state?
Louisiana.
Florida. Number nine, what is the longest you have gone without sleeping?
5 days.
Number 10, we're going to play Kiss, Marry, Kill. You ready?
Yeah.
Kiss, Marry, Kill, Drew. A turkey sub, a cheese pizza, or a BLT?
Ooh. I'm killing the turkey sub.
You're killing the turkey sub.
It's just so good for me. And, oh, God, turkey gets in all my nerves sometimes.
Okay.
And I'm going to kiss the cheese pizza.
All right.
Because she's sweet and she's delightful and it's good for time to time. But man, that BLT, I'm marrying that pork belly.
You're going to marry the BLT?
I'm marrying that pork belly. That bitch is coming home with me and staying with me forever.
Very good. Very good. All right. Well, I like the reasoning. Thank you very much, Drew.
Very welcome.
Well, there you go. That brings us to the end of episode 53. Good times.
Always.
Good times. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it.
Beginning of another year, sir.
Beginning of another year. You're 1-0.
I can't wait to see what's going to happen.
It's going to be a crazy year. Got a lot in store for you people. Got a lot to do. Next week, we have DJ Baby Lack. He couldn't come in a few weeks ago, so he should be coming next week for episode 54. Exciting stuff. Exciting stuff.
Very exciting.
I'm just looking. There's about a minute left of bed music here, so I'm thinking.
I'm just going to run out. Did you want to run it out? Just keep talking?
Just keep talking to the end of this music here.
All right. Sounds good.
This beer is pretty good.
Is it? What kind of beer are you drinking?
Like I said, it's a Cigar City High Life. You don't like the IPA. It's too hoppy for you.
Yeah, it's too hoppy.
But this one, man, oh, it's
I'm
so
a malt. I'm a malt guy.
I get those bitters, those nice bitters in the back of my mouth, you know, when you take that sip.
You like the bitters in the back of your mouth?
It's good when it's accompanied by a delicious alcoholic beer.
I got some bitters from the back of your mouth.
Oh. We're going to end the episode that way?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, God.
It all depends on when the music stops.
It's about to stop.
Oh, man. We need to
you
say
ruined
something
it.
Nice,
No, you ruined
Chris.
It. This episode's been ruined by Drewster Cogburn. Thank you for listening, people. We really, really appreciate it. Drewster, fuck you, bro.